own Hangar 1. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. More rockets, bombs, and shots fired in the Middle East, and Israel says there will be no ceasefire until its two kidnapped soldiers are freed. In southern Lebanon, aid convoys are going one way, terrified civilians the other.
I'm Vicki Barker in Beirut. For Cassandra Nelson of the aid group Mercy Corps, today was an awful lot like yesterday.
The situation is still extremely dangerous, both for the civilians that are trapped down there and for the aid workers that are trying to reach them.
Another aid convoy is heading south in the morning, but organizers have received no assurances of safe passage from the Israelis.
Here at home, President Bush made it clear again today he does not think an immediate ceasefire is the answer.
The current crisis is part of a larger struggle between the forces of freedom and the forces of terror.
At a Miami speech, he called on Syria and Iran to pull the support plug on Hezbollah. New developments in the Mel Gibson DWI story. Details from CBS's Steve Futterman in L.A.
3 days after his arrest for drunk driving, Mel Gibson has entered a rehabilitation program. The actor-director issued a statement this weekend saying that he had been battling alcoholism for his entire life and would be seeking treatment. Gibson still has not specifically acknowledged making anti-Semitic remarks following his arrest. The drunk driving case, meanwhile, has been handed over to the district attorney's office.
It's a new day for the morning after pill, with the government now saying it will consider allowing over-the-counter sales of the emergency contraceptive.
While the FDA is opening the door to resolving this long-standing dispute, it's making it clear Plan B's maker has some big hurdles to overcome. It's demanding that this morning after pill be only sold over-the-counter to women 18 or older, not 16 or older, as DuraMed wants. In a letter, the FDA raises serious concerns about how the company would monitor sales restrictions, such as requiring that the pill be kept behind counters and that customer IDs be checked.
That's CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. From Minnesota down to Texas and east to the Atlantic Ocean, a summertime heat wave. Here's the story in the Twin Cities.
With temperatures in the triple digits, the water of the wading pool is quite inviting.
What are you doing to stay cool besides hitting the water?
I'm drinking lots of lemonade.
Been tough so far on you?
It hasn't been too bad because we're lucky and we have some central air conditioning running, so we're pretty lucky.
This pool is not nearly as busy as it would be if the temperature were 10 to 15 degrees cooler. Many are just staying inside the comfort of their air-conditioned homes. Adam Carter, CBS News, Minneapolis.
Tighter borders may be a good thing, but on the farm, it's turning out to be bad for business.
Farmers are walking away from fields for the first time in history because they don't have sufficient labor to harvest their crops.
Tom Nassif of the Western Growers Association says the field workforce is down about 20% in California. Wall Street, the Dow is down 34 today, and the NASDAQ was off 2.5 points. This is CBS News.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For instance, the just-in-time inventory that really is dynamic. Or the every SKU already has a customer dynamic. Or the I've escaped from the crushing shackles of my supply chain dynamic. How do you achieve these kinds of dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Yeah, my wife's pregnant, so since she's driving more carefully now, maybe we could get a discount on our rate, huh?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, she will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Many state lotteries are rolling in money. because it hasn't been claimed by winners.
New York is the state with the most unclaimed winnings, $75 million last year. Nationwide, more than $580 million wasn't picked up in 2005. Jill Vaughn with the Virginia Lottery.
Someone in Georgia did not come forward for an $11 million jackpot.
So what happens to the money? In some states, it goes back to the players in the form of second chance drawings. In others, it goes to the state's general fund. Most states give you up to 6 months to claim your winnings. Maryland currently has a $49 million ticket just waiting to be claimed. Mark Seagraves for CBS News, Washington.
It sounds like a plank for a presidential campaign. Former candidate John Kerry, someone perhaps interested in 08, is calling for all Americans to have health insurance by 2012. His plan includes expanding Medicaid to include kids and allowing people to buy into the same federal program that covers members of Congress. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
Yeah, my truck doesn't have coverage, but if my boat hit it, will my boat policy pay for the damage to my truck?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical,
will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Hello and welcome back to Ask the Orkin Man.
Hey, Orkin Man, I'm preparing for an invasion.
Really?
Yeah, I got sandbags at every door.
Well, ants and roaches only need an opening the width of a dime.
Oh, what if I duct tape the entire house?
I'd call Orkin first. We've been fighting invasions for over 100 years. We can help prevent pests and still let in sunlight.
Oh, sunlight, right.
Always thinking ahead.
Protect your home, protect your family. Orkin can help. Call 1-800-ORKINMAN.
Peter B. Collins.
Greetings and welcome to another fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unrehearsed, unscripted, coming to you from the left coast of these United States. Are you ready? Are you steady? Shall we go? We have 3 hours to discuss the issues of the day. Not enough time, but we'll do just the best we can with what we have. Coming up in about a half an hour, Lawrence J. Korb from the Center for American Progress discusses the new CAP report card on Iraq. You remember Iraq. That's the war that we declared mission accomplished 3 years ago. And it's actually an occupation now and a civil war. Also on our program today, our daily update from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report. He'll be joining us about an hour from now. There was a call for a ceasefire. Looked like it was going to happen for 48 to 72 hours, but yet it has been called off and the airstrikes have resumed in Lebanon. Also on the show today, Matthew Rothschild. He's the editor of the Progressive magazine. He is a signer of that full-page ad, sponsored by Jewish Americans, calling for peace and a ceasefire by Israel. And he's written a piece about Condoleezza Rice. Sharply critical. We'll share that with you coming up in our second hour today. And then we throw it wide open in the third hour in the free speech zone for your calls. And we're going to address a question asked by our listener Millie last week about the American laser defense system that was deployed in Israel. We have some news on that. And we have an interesting piece from the Daily Kos on if California were Iraq. And we'll tell you about that a little bit later on. Also, our man Jake in Humboldt County sent me a fascinating op-ed piece about Ann Coulter that the local paper won't publish, but we'll read parts of it right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We still believe in free speech, even when it dings Ann Coulter. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're welcome to call whenever you desire. We have a toll-free line. Our new number, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Call whenever you care to. It's time for our update from Media Matters. And our media man today is Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America. You can visit their website, mediamatters.org. And in his spare time, he wrote the book called Being Right Is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Paul Waldman, thanks for joining us today on the Peter B. Collins Show.
My pleasure, Peter.
And it remains unspeakably beastly hot in Washington, D.C., I take it?
Oh, my goodness. When I walk down the street, you can fry an egg on my forehead.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I spent a summer there, and I was living in an apartment on Pennsylvania Avenue. And in the afternoons, it got so hot, I used to go to the Canadian Embassy and just walk right into that wall of water that they have. It's a kind of a fountain feature right on Pennsylvania.
Well, it's nice that the Canadians let you do that.
Well, they let me do it once. I'm not sure if it is actually something that they like people to do, but it sure was refreshing when it occurred. Well, Paul, there's a lot to talk about, and the media has been in high gear, maybe even overdrive this past week. And topic one today on your list is Michael Savage, the San Francisco-based reactionary. He calls himself an independent conservative. Language, culture, borders. That's how he summarizes his show. And you guys, well, you monitored his broadcast, and whoever did that deserves combat pay. As I listened to about a half hour of his show last week, but he had this remarkable comment about the passage and presidential signature on the Voting Rights Act last week. Let's listen. And I've clicked play. Let's see what's going to
I don't really know what they mean by reaffirming the Voting Rights Act. Do they mean they're going to put a chat in every crack house? What are they going to spend $10 billion to make sure they have voting machines in crack houses? What is this Voting Rights Act reauthorization? What is this big deal? If you're an American over a certain age, you can vote. Well, what are they talking about? What is this nonsense? What does Sharpton want? What does Jackson want? A couple of $100 million to put voting machines in crack houses? What does he want? I don't get it.
Wow. That is racist in a very bare-knuckled way, Paul.
Charming combination of ignorance and bigotry.
Yeah.
And the thing about Michael Savage isn't just that he's a repugnant character, which he is, but the fact that he's treated as though, you know, he's somebody who deserves to be listened to. He's on hundreds of radio stations, and a few years back, MSNBC even gave him his own television show because they thought he was so smart and witty. And, you know, we see this over and over again, that extremists like him are treated like they are mainstream folks. And a liberal who's one-tenth as far to the extreme would never be allowed within 10 miles of a television studio.
Yeah. And what's also interesting, Paul, is that the Savage program, as you mentioned, is syndicated to, they claim 300 radio stations. Some people have actually looked at the list, and it's about a third less than that, or at least it was when it was analyzed a year or two ago. But many of his affiliates are Christian radio stations owned by Salem Broadcasting.
Well, you know, that's very interesting, and one would think that Christian radio stations wouldn't be interested in that kind of hate radio, but maybe I'm giving too much credit to Christian radio stations.
Yeah, it makes me very uncomfortable, too, because I've worked in the radio business a long time. You don't get to pick who your co-hosts or other personalities are on the station, and so you learn to tolerate quite a bit. And I followed Rush Limbaugh every day for 3 years. I got used to that. It wasn't easy. But I really feel that Savage crosses the line on a regular basis into hate speech. And as I mentioned, Salem is a big chain that syndicates his show on their local stations. The other is the former ABC Disney, which was recently sold to Citadel Broadcasting. But ABC Disney was one of the first. I mean, Michael Savage came out of their stations in San Francisco.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the reasons why at Media Matters we started a petition, not directed at Savage, but at people like Ann Coulter who get brought on to television shows to spew her hate, people like Glenn Beck, another radio host who was given his own show on CNN or their affiliate Headline News. And you know, our point is that it's these people certainly have free speech rights; they can say whatever they want to, but it's not necessary for big media companies to give them a forum to spew their hate.
Yeah, and you know, this gets a little touchy, but I want to be very careful and make sure that people listen carefully to what I'm about to say. I believe that the people who make the decision to put Michael Savage on their radio station make a decision that is similar to one that a pornographer makes about what he or she is going to put on the cover of the magazine or in the centerfold that month. And it is purely a decision about what sells, not what's ethical, not what is, compatible with my own values. And to me, a pornographer really is the kind of person who would say, well, I don't have to enjoy this kind of sexuality to take pictures of it and exploit it to my readers. And that's what I think the value system is for the executives who decide to put Michael Savage on a radio station.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there, Peter. I mean, it's not even an ideological question. It's not about Savage as opposed to some liberal radio host. If you want to put conservatives on the air, there are plenty of conservatives out there who don't spew the kind of bigotry and hate that Michael Savage does. That's not just a business decision, but a moral decision. And I think that the people who make that decision to put him on the air do have to have some kind of moral accountability.
Yeah. All right, let's shift over to the liberal media, the alleged liberal media. Chris Matthews has two programs. Most people know about Hardball on MSNBC. He also has a Sunday show called The Chris Matthews Show. And I rarely see that, so set us up for this one about Hillary Rodham Clinton, Paul.
Well, his show is sort of like a Meet the Press type of show, and he was having a little panel discussion with his guests, who included Howard Fineman of Newsweek and Gloria Borger of U.S. News and Andrew Sullivan, who works for Time Magazine, and they were commenting on what they think about Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's listen. Here we go.
Is Hillary against somebody? Whenever you talk to Democratic strategists, they always use the word she. They don't even say Hillary. It's not just that Hillary is a one-word person.
She's a pronoun.
She's just a pronoun.
It's that one. It's Elvis Costello's song. She.
It's a pronoun against somebody, and Edwards looks
Gloria,
like he benefits
the other word on the street among the great mentioners, whoever they are, including Howard and you.
We're all the mentioners.
Is that there'd always be... She's got to be challenged ultimately by one person.
Mm-hmm.
Three guys aren't going to beat her. One has to beat her. Is John Edwards now get the advantage? He's leading in the Iowa poll. Most recent Des Moines Register poll.
Came in second in Iowa last time around.
He's also got apparently his labor support out there in Nevada. Mm-hmm. If he can make it to South Carolina, can he beat Hillary Clinton?
I think that's a possibility, and it's not just because he's talking an awful lot about poverty now. It's not just because the South Carolina is his home turf. But what it really is that, Chris, I think he's a more authentic person than Hillary Clinton. On that likability scale
about... No, you don't step back from what you just said. No, Gloria, you said genuine person.
Genuine.
Meaning he honestly says what he feels and thinks. He doesn't go to his calculating consultants. So in other words, he's a more sincere candidate than Hillary Clinton. That's a strong statement by you.
It is a strong statement.
All right, thanks, Gloria. Now, this is interesting, Paul, because I don't particularly agree with that characterization, and I am no fan of Hillary Rodham Clinton's.
And what happened right after that was that Andrew Sullivan said that Hillary Clinton was the least authentic person in America. And, you know, programs like this are where the conventional wisdom is created and disseminated. And one of the things that I think this indicates is that we've really heard this kind of story before. If you notice, every 4 years, one of the things we hear about the candidates is that whoever the Democratic candidate for president is, he's not really real. He's kind of a phony. He's inauthentic. And the Republican candidate, we're always told, is a genuine, regular guy. I mean, let's think about George W. Bush. After all, you know, his father was a president. His grandfather was a senator. He went to Andover and Yale and Harvard. And reporters never questioned the notion that he was just a regular guy who'd much rather be hanging out at a backyard barbecue than dealing with policy and living in Washington. So it's somehow the idea that that was an act never really seemed to occur to them.
Yeah.
In fact, of course, it was an act. It was a very finely honed act, one that he and Karl Rove developed over many years. But no matter who the candidate is, it seems that the Democrat is always characterized by reporters as someone who's not genuine, who's phony. And, you know, they're saying that about Hillary Clinton. And they're going to continue to say that as long as she's a potential candidate and if she becomes the Democratic nominee. And I can assure you that no matter who the Republican nominee is, the chances are very slim that reporters are going to take that kind of view of them where that person is supposed to be inauthentic and phony. It's much more likely that we'll hear that whoever he is, he's just a regular Joe who enjoys hanging out with regular people.
We'll pick up there as we continue in just a moment. We're talking with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America, their website, mediamatters.org. More coming up. If you'd like to join us with a comment, do so. Call me toll free, 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B, here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara, a midsize SUV that seats five. With four-wheel drive and a 2.7-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic, the Grand Vitara performed very well on a weekend drive to the coast.
good acceleration and passing power, easy to handle, quick to respond. My only complaint is that the four-wheel drive setup makes the steering a little tight at low speeds and requires a bigger turning radius. Inside, it's roomy and attractive with all the accessories you need, including a 6-CD changer with a subwoofer to annoy other drivers. Suzuki offers generous warranties and a great price. The mileage could be better. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara gets 19 mpg in the city, 23 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $23,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. I remain your humble host, Peter B. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, we're going to talk with Lawrence J. Korb. Larry Korb from the Center for American Progress. He's got a report card for the Bush administration on the war in Iraq. We continue now with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. And up next, well, first of all, Paul, I just had one stray thought before we moved on from the Chris Matthews Show discussion of Hillary Clinton as a not authentic person. I really feel that John Edwards has changed since he was a vice presidential candidate, but he was so robotic and so disciplined in his Two Americas speech when he was on the stump in 2004 that while I felt that he was sincere and had a message, authentic is not a word that I would use to describe Senator Edwards.
Well, I don't know. You know, he's probably running again for president. We'll see. And you know, you're right. I think maybe you got that impression in part because he did give the same speech over and over and over. during those primaries. And that's one thing that at certain times can be very politically effective. Let's remember that in 2004 during the general election, George Bush gave the same speech every single day during the campaign with the same applause points, the same jokes, everything. And, you know, it's something that, a lot of those of us who are intense observers of the campaign get bored with and frustrated with.
Right.
We want to hear something new. But I think that some smart political strategists feel that if you have a message and you believe in that message, then repeating it endlessly hundreds and hundreds of times is politically effective.
Yeah.
So I think that, we'll see with, Edwards what happens when people get a, new look at him this time.
Well, and the work he's done on poverty in his home state is laudable, and I commend him for it. The other thing I'll point out is that he didn't carry a single state, including his own, when he was on that ticket in 2004. So his political value in some ways is yet to be determined. Let's move on now to Bill O'Reilly, because hot on the heels of George W. Bush declaring that he now uses more sophisticated speech, he told us that in a confessional press conference with Tony Blair about, a month ago. Well, now Bill O'Reilly declares he's an intellectual. Let's listen to this clip.
Not winning in Iraq, in my opinion, is because we didn't level Fallujah when we should have leveled it. Level it. Give every civilian 24 hours to get out and blow the hell out of it. Sater, this little thug cleric, he should have had a bullet right between his eyes the first year. That's why we're not winning it. We're not tough enough. Sierra, Orlando, Florida, go. I'm not a macho man.
Macho guy.
No, not me.
No?
I'm an intellectual.
Ah.
Macho doesn't get you anywhere in this world. It really doesn't. You swagger around, be a macho guy, and you're not going to get anywhere.
You can be macho and swagger and still be smart.
No, you're not going to win the war being macho. You can win the war being smart.
Wow. Paul, this is quite a comment coming from him, because if anything, he certainly poses as macho on his TV show.
Yeah, and that's kind of part of the essence of the Bill O'Reilly persona. You know, he's supposed to be this tough-talking, regular guy who's standing up for little people against powerful forces that are out there controlling our lives. And but here you see kind of a strange exploration into Bill O'Reilly's mind. I mean, this happened on his radio show, and one minute he's talking about how, you know, we're not tough enough and we have to be leveling cities and, you know, blow the hell out of Fallujah. And then a couple minutes later, he's saying that he's not macho, he's an intellectual, and you don't win the war by being macho, you win the war by being smart. Now, you can agree with one or two, one of those, but it's hard to agree with both of them. And, but, you know, Bill can't seem to decide if he's macho or if he's an intellectual and if we should be smart or we should be tough. But, you know, there's a lot of chest beating going on. There always has been in the among the conservative commentators, particularly now. One of the interesting things that's happening is that, and Bill O'Reilly is one of the people who has been saying this, now they're saying we're in World War III. Although, I have to correct that, some of them are actually saying we're in World War IV.
Oh, really? I missed one. Did I sleep through one?
Apparently, yes. Apparently, in some people's eyes, the Cold War was World War IV. Or World War III, and now we're in World War IV. But regardless of how you, which world war you think we're in, I think it's interesting because it kind of feeds that the need that a lot of conservatives have for that moral clarity that seems to have been lost recently. You know, if we're wondering about the complex nuances of the conflict between Israelis and Hezbollah or the Palestinians and what's going on in Iraq, then that sort of chest-beating, the macho man, doesn't seem to be as someone that whose recommendations we want to follow so much. But if we can decide that it's a world war, then all of a sudden that we don't really have to worry about whether we need to, you know, respect civilians' right to life. We can just level their cities the way we did in World War II. The enemy is all-encompassing. All of a sudden, all those kinds of complicated questions get swept away. And if we're just in a world war, then we just have to kill the enemy, and that's that.
Yeah.
So I think it's very appealing to a certain kind of conservative to believe that.
Well, it's fascinating to take a closer look at these issues. We've run out of time here, Paul, but I want to recommend that people visit MediaMatters.org and especially take a look at this collage of clips of conservative pundits telling us that, you know, we're winning the war, we're turning the corner, the next 6 months are crucial and will determine the outcome. It's a fascinating package. Thanks a lot for joining us, and give our best to all the folks at Media Matters.
Will do, Peter.
All right. Coming up next, Lawrence J. Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress and the New
new report card they've issued to the Bush administration on Iraq. I scoured it, couldn't find any A's, B's, or even any C's. That's next, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyer, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with great news. I have a new time slot. Reality Radio can be heard every Saturday afternoon now from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. With me, Sheila Gale, number one in reality radio. There's nothing we won't talk about. Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m., sponsored in part by Primerica Financial Services. Call Joe and Phyllis at the Marina office for your free consultation. See you Saturday on KRXA.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, I never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. the fight lost. We live and die them.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Some bumper music brand new from Michael Fronte and Spearhead. The CD is called Yell Fire. And that one, Time to Go Home. I'll play more of it a little later today on the show. Returning to our program today is Lawrence J. Korb, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress in Washington. He has served our nation with distinction as an Undersecretary of Defense during the Reagan administration and as a think tank occupant for many years since then. Larry Korb, nice to talk with you again.
Nice to be back with you, Peter.
I want to mainly focus our conversation today on the war that is not receding in fact, but is receding in terms of media coverage and the attention of many Americans. That, of course, is Iraq. But before that, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the announced ceasefire. There's going to be a 72-hour halt, and it didn't happen. Israel has resumed bombing of Lebanon, and it appears that Hezbollah has resumed launching rockets. What fell apart there, Larry?
Well, what Israel announced that they would, I think it was 48 hours that we got them to agree to, on the idea was that this would let humanitarian aid in, let people get out of the Hezbollah areas, but basically they're bombing in other places. So it really, you know, it was not a complete ceasefire. I mean, they used the term, but that's not what they meant. And then, of course, since they're bombing, then Hezbollah is going to shoot back.
Mm-hmm. And do you regard the Secretary of State as sincere in her mission to try to develop a ceasefire? We saw the president kind of shift course on Friday in the news conference with Prime Minister Blair. But many of us don't think they're sincere. We kind of look at this and say, well, they're simply trying to buy more time for Israel.
Well, it is. I mean, if you've been through this, and I remember when I was in government, you can look at Republican and Democratic administrations. I think when this started, you know, and certainly Israel was justified in striking back at Hezbollah after they took the captured the Israeli soldiers. When an American goes over there, usually what happens is the United States will lean on Israel, and Israel said, well, we don't want to stop, but, you know, we have to. Well, what happened this time, my understanding, is when Rice got over there, they said, keep going. And, you know, that dumbfounded them because now they don't want to be look like that they're, you know, caving in unilaterally.
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling is Bush and Rice have the same, you know, grand mistaken vision that they had in Iraq, you know. Destroy Hezbollah, you create a democratic Lebanon, Israel will be safe, democracy will spread throughout the region, you'll solve the Palestinian situation. And, you know, they don't realize that, you know, once you start shooting and dropping bombs and things like things can go wrong. And what's happened is Israel is less safe and we're less safe as a result of them going on now for almost 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because by displacing close to a million people in Lebanon, you can, you know, you got a whole new generation of Hezbollah to recruit from. States in that area, Egypt, for example, Saudi Arabia, which had initially been critical of Hezbollah, now have switched.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't see where it helps Israel or the United States in the long run.
Yeah. Larry, I'm not quite so certain as you about the provocation and the justification of the capture of those two soldiers. Number one, there are conflicting accounts of exactly where that took place. Israel has asserted that it took place in Israel, that Hezbollah crossed the border. But there are French news accounts that, assert that it took place inside Lebanon and that Israel made an incursion there. I'll put that aside for now because neither one of us was on scene. But the other, it is critical to me that the capture of those two soldiers is being referred to as a kidnap. Now, they were on duty, on patrol, and Hezbollah took them captive. Is that the same as a kidnap? Wouldn't we prefer to use the term kidnap for innocent civilians as opposed to armed, uniformed members of the Israeli Defense Force?
Well, I think it would be appropriate if Hezbollah came into Israel to do it. Then I think it's, you know, you could say that they were not engaged in combat, they weren't on a military operation, they were just standing guard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that I think term is appropriate, you know, for what happened, if in fact that's the way that it did happen.
Mm-hmm. But I guess I get the sense that Israel just goes ballistic over the, you know, capture of a couple of soldiers, three, in fact, in two settings, one in Gaza and two there in South Lebanon. And, you know, I guess I just get the feeling that they're using very hot rhetoric, and it strikes me that these people were caught up in a combat situation, and therefore it's not kidnapping. It really was, you know, an act of war on both sides.
Well, again, if in fact they came in, don't forget Israel withdrew from Lebanon. There's a UN resolution, 1559, that says, you know, they're not supposed to make any incursions or anything like that. So mm-hmm. we don't know the facts. But I think where Israel made the, if you will, a strategic error is by overreacting so much to it, they made a bad situation worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, previously, Prime Minister Sharon had traded some of the, you know, the soldiers who were taken captive for prisoners that, you know, Israel had, and I think when the history of this is written, that's what they may have expected, you know, that Israel would do. Now, I can understand Israel saying, hey, look, you know, we got out of Lebanon, and here's the deal, and you guys are going to keep doing this, we got to stop it. And then, of course, the question becomes, you know, the method that you use to stop it. And I think the real problem now is, from what I, you know, read, is Prime Minister Olmert told Secretary Rice that, you know, they'd like to keep doing this for another 10 days to 2 weeks. Well, I think by the end of that time, it's going to be worse for Israel as well as the United States.
Mm-hmm. Larry Korb, do you have confidence in Secretary Rice?
No, I don't. You know, she was not a very good national security advisor. And rather than saying, you know, hey, you tried, but it didn't quite work. You were in charge of Iraq and coordinating all the plans and making sure the president knew it. You were also there September 11th. They promoted her. You know, I do not. I think her problem is, in most cases, she has this sort of neoconservative view of the world that you can transform things and solve all the world's problems, rather than, as most people who've been involved in foreign policy realize, you got to live with some problems and just try and keep them from getting out of hand.
Mm-hmm. Larry Korb with us from the Center for American Progress. Turning now to the release just the other day of this report card on Iraq, it's important to state the context that this was supposed to be, based on a Senate resolution last November, the year of transition. That was kind of a vague term, but it was a clear signal to the Bush administration that 79 senators felt that it's time for a significant shift in our policies in Iraq. It's been largely ignored by the Bush administration, some lip service paid, but particularly when we see the news conference that the president held with Mr. Maliki last week in Washington, the decision to extend the service of 3,500 Stryker Brigade members who will be dispatched to Baghdad to try to beef up the failed security plan from just a couple of weeks ago. It's clear that the administration understands that things are not going well in Iraq, but they still try to gild the lily and spin it to the American people. As if, you know, just one more step is necessary to turn the corner. And the last corner was the one at the intersection of Zarqawi and Zarqawi. And we turned that corner, and things have gotten a whole lot worse, haven't they, Larry?
Yeah, they sure have. I mean, you're still paying for the mistake that you made for going in for the wrong reasons, not sending enough troops to get the security situation under control, and not you know, giving the Iraqis any incentive to do what they need to do. And that's why at the center, you know, we have advocated since last September, we put out our strategic redeployment plan, said, look, let these people know by the end of 2007, we're out of here. So you need to make the compromises and that are necessary to create a country that people are, you know, willing to fight and die for. And, you know, it took them 5 months to create a government after their election. Do you realize in that time, we lost every man a brigade's worth of soldiers and Marines, either killed or wounded. I mean, a battalion each month.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Iraqis are taking huge casualties. Almost 100 a day on average are dying.
Right.
Most in Baghdad. And we do have a true civil war. We can stop playing games, semantic games over that, because we see these execution style slayings of groups of Sunnis by Shiites, and the revenge comes in when the Shiites do it to Sunnis, and so it really has descended into a civil war. And too many American commentators, I think, are too timid to just lay it out flat like that. Larry Korb, your report card gave a grade of an F on security and stability. We don't really need to explain that much, do we?
Well, no. I mean, as you just pointed out, things have gotten worse rather than better, and we did say after the election and the death of Zarqawi that was going to be a turning point. Remember, Bush 6 weeks ago went into Baghdad triumphantly there and talked about things getting better. They've gotten worse. And, Maliki said he was going to disband the militias. He hadn't. And now you have another group, basically a neighborhood, force protection group set up to defend their own neighborhoods. And so basically things have not gotten any better. American casualties are not going down significantly. And until you get the security situation under control, you can't do much else.
Mm-hmm. And on late night television, there are jokes about how people are asking for Saddam to come back. Do you have any sense if average Iraqis make that calculation and still today would say, "Well, gosh, Saddam killed my uncle or tortured my nephew, but it was never this bad day to day. We could leave the house, we could drive our car through Baghdad." Do you think we have reached a point where Saddam actually looks better than the U.S. occupation?
Well, I think the people are basically not saying Saddam, but almost anything would be better, and that you're right. I mean, while Saddam was terrible, he didn't impact the vast majority of people, or certain leaders and stuff that he targeted. And if you were on his list, it was terrible. But, yeah, I think people are saying, we fought and died for this and went through all this, and things are worse. And for most Iraqis, they are, in terms of, electrical power on, money from the, oil, unemployment, all those things are worse. And for most people, that's what you're concerned about. How can you be concerned about democracy when your children are afraid to go to school or you're afraid to go visit your neighbors or go to work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break and return with more of the it is a report card. That's what I'm looking for. Issued by the Center for American Progress about the Bush administration's situation in Iraq. If you have a comment, you can join us, Larry Korb, with us till the top of the hour. My new toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Love to talk with you. Join us if you have a comment. We'll continue in just a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the news, KRXA 540. Do you have a living trust? Lawyers on Duty is offering a living trust package for just $995. If you're single, only $895. Give your loved ones the safety net by saving them thousands of dollars by avoiding cumbersome legal proceedings. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available and affordable. With over 1,000 living trusts completed locally, they'll work with you to avoid costly probate. Behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, downtown Monterey. Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up right after the top of the hour, we'll have our daily update from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report on the latest developments on the ground there. As you know, the ceasefire that was expected has not occurred. Also next hour, an update on the challenged election in the Duke Cunningham seat in San Diego. We'll be talking with attorney Paul Leto, who has filed a challenge there, coming up in the next 45 minutes or so. That's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show as we continue with Lawrence J. Korb, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. We're talking about the report card for Iraq that's been issued by Larry Korb and his very bright colleague, Brian Katulis. And people can find it on the website at AmericanProgress.org. That's the homepage for the Center for American Progress. Larry Korb, you and Brian assigned a grade of F on security and stability, and as long as we're in that neighborhood, you also assigned an F to Iraq's impact on U.S. national security. And I believe that this is, oozing out into the current conflict and also oozing back to the unfinished business in Afghanistan.
Very, very definitely. I mean, Afghanistan is getting worse because we haven't put enough troops in there. And Iraq is diverting our attention from things like the Middle East, North Korea, Iran, and also it's weakening our military force. Even if the United States wanted to send troops to the Israeli-Lebanese border, if in fact you get an agreement to that, it'd be very, very difficult to do. We're just overstretched. And, not only that, but we've used up a lot of the equipment. Normally, if you send, say, the Marines into Lebanon, they would get their equipment off what they call a maritime prepositioning. Well, most of that's been used up in Iraq. And so it has weakened us. And as we pointed out in the report, here at the Center, in cooperation with Foreign Policy Magazine, we did a survey of over 100 national security experts.
Yeah.
A lot of them were conservatives, and 84%. Basically said the war in Iraq is weakening national security and it's undermining our ability to win, what the president calls the war on terror.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you described it that way. that whole phrase, war on terror, just sends me sideways. It's almost
well,
as bad
it does,
as...
and it should. I mean, and if you look at what's happening now in the Middle East, when Bush and Blair had their press conference, they're talking about, well, we're fighting them there, so we don't have to fight them here.
What a crock. What a crock that is.
Yeah.
Who buys that, Larry? I mean, I'm not trying to demean any individual American, but, is there a moron factor that hears that line and says, yeah, that's it. They're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them here.
Well, I think what happens is for most folks who are very busy, dealing with their families and making ends meet and, trying to deal with the fact that, wages aren't going up and, all of these things, they look over there and they say, well, this is another, quote-unquote, group Muslim or Arab group, so they must be, you know, together, not knowing Al-Qaeda used to despise Hezbollah until very recently, now that they, you know, they're kind of joined up, you know, with them. And it's just like when Maliki was here last week, you know, the Prime Minister of Iraq, he said, if you lose in Baghdad, you'll lose the war on terror. Nonsense. I mean, you know, Saddam wasn't connected to 9/11, and the Iraqis were not connected to Al-Qaeda in any, you know, way, shape, or form.
Well, and strategically, Larry, isn't one of the worst things we could do is get complacent and assume that, you know, we've created this magnet for terrorists that draws them all into Iraq because it's just so great there, and that that means they don't have the bandwidth or the desire to hit us either on our own soil or on allied soil or our military deployments all over the world? I mean, the mindset there is just irrational.
Well, yeah, I mean, it looks like, you know, there's sort of a quote-unquote fixed number of them, you know, sort of like the size of the, you know, the U.S. Army. You got the 18 divisions, and, you know, if you got 10 of them here, well, they can't go someplace else. No, in fact, by going into Iraq the way that we did, this continuing crisis in the Middle East is getting a whole bunch of new recruits for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, I mean, ever since we've been in Iraq, fighting them there so we won't have to fight them here, there's been bombings in London, Madrid, you know, I mean, these people are not, you know, a finite number, and it's not a, gee, if they're busy here, they can't go other places.
Yeah.
In fact, if you read the Al-Qaeda website, they're thrilled we're in Iraq because they figure that they'll wear Americans down. People will just get so tired that we'll become isolationist again.
Well, in the Civil War, there's enough to keep us bogged down for a long time to come.
Oh, yeah.
Al-Qaeda doesn't need to pile onto that.
No, and in fact, you see, when you put the Civil War on top of the insurgency, it's two battles, and it's not the same enemy.
Yeah.
I mean, because if the Shiites are killing the Sunnis because if the Sunnis blew up their mosque or vice versa, that has nothing to do with Al-Qaeda in Mesopotamia or, you know, trying to put a different form of government or anything like that. It's just people avenging. They're almost like gangs, if you will, you know, from different parts of a big city.
Yeah. I once heard the mayor of Oakland, this is a few years back, Elihu Harris, say, you know, there are only about 500 people who are doing the gangbanging, and if we can just lock them all up, Oakland will be fine. And I said, Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry. Every time you lock one up, there are four guys who come forward and say, I'll deal crack on the corner because I don't have a job. Anyway,
right.
Back to the report card in Iraq. You gave a D- on economic reconstruction. This is highlighted by Bechtel's failure at the hospital in Basra. They're pulling out of there. The report over the weekend showing that they played all kinds of games in the bookkeeping, declaring it overhead when they had cost overruns. And the bottom line is that Iraq is not secure enough for any of the planned reconstruction to take place, much less under budget.
Well, that's true. I mean, you have two problems. One, the security. Mr. Maliki mentioned that when he was here last week about, you know, how much of the reconstruction has gone to security. But the other thing, you throw in corruption on top of it, and you have a perfect storm there. I mean, you know, we're not getting what we pay for. And then the administration's compound, they said, no, we're not giving any more money for reconstruction. Well, you know, how do you expect the Iraqis to, you know, better their lives if you're not going to help them do it? I mean, I was opposed to going in there, but I do think we have an obligation to help put the place back together.
Well, that is the Pottery Barn rule, at least as Colin Powell previously cited it. You were very generous, I believe, in the category governance and democracy. In your report card, you give Iraq a C+. Why did they earn that grade? They do
have a government with participation from all of the, you know, the various factions there. They did finally get, you know, ministers in interior and defense. So I think, you know, you've got to give them, you know, credit for that. Mr. Maliki seems better than some of the other people who run the place.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we didn't give him a higher grade is because, you know, their program to secure Baghdad, disarm the militias, even women's rights. I almost fell off the chair last week when Maliki was here speaking before the Congress. And he talked about that they're improving women's rights. He hadn't read his own constitution. Article 41 basically says that the various regions can, you know, make women, you know, second-class citizens. And our own ambassador, Zal Khalilzad, you know, wrote a memo back to the State Department saying women are afraid to go out without the traditional, you know, dress and everything like that.
Yeah. Larry, just 20 seconds. You concerned about Turkey's intentions toward the Kurds in northern Iraq?
Well, I think we've got some leverage with them because they want to get into the EU.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Kurds are smart enough not to break away from Iraq completely. So
all
I
right.
think that they'll be, you know, kind of, we're part of it, but we're not, you know, just kind of leave us alone. And so they won't declare independence. So,
all right, we'll follow that one closely. Thank you very much. Lawrence
okay,
J. Kaur,
sure thing.
Center for American Progress. Coming up next, Chris Tonsing joins us with our update from the Middle East Report.
Vote means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you retire, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hours of uneasy, imperfect quiet in the Middle East.
The current crisis is part of a larger struggle between the forces of freedom and the forces of terror.
Help may be on the way for folks who say, oops, after that hot date.
Today's announcement holds the potential for improving health if the FDA keeps their word this time.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Harley Carnes. As though time is in high gear, this 48 hours of relative calm between Israel and Hezbollah. Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert saying there is no ceasefire. Israel will respond to it if they're hit, and did today, striking back after Hezbollah destroyed an Israeli tank. On collateral damage, CBS's Robert Berger.
Olmert apologized for the civilian casualties in Cana, saying that he is sorry from the bottom of his heart for all the deaths of children or women. He said that Israel was not targeting civilians. He said they are not our enemies, and we did not look for them.
Meanwhile, that's in Bint Jabal, where Israeli troops pulled out over the weekend, people trying to get out.
I'm Vicky Barker in Beirut. Like ants trying to escape a burning anthill, vehicles packed with human cargo are speeding along the twisting back roads of southern Lebanon, trying to avoid the bombed-out thoroughfares, trying to get to safety before the bombing starts again. White sheets flutter from car windows, a desperate attempt to ward off death from the skies. The roads of southern Lebanon strewn with the charred wreckage of the vehicles that didn't make it through. Vicky Barker, CBS News, Beirut.
People caught in the crosshairs want a real ceasefire. Israel's cabinet has authorized an even wider ground offensive aimed at rooting out Hezbollah from its bunkers, basements, and other hiding places. CBS's Peter Mayer.
As the diplomatic focus moves to the UN, President Bush says he's determined to end the crisis that has overtaken his foreign policy agenda. His immediate goals:
Lebanon's democratic government must be empowered to exercise sole authority over its territory. A multinational force must be dispatched to Lebanon quickly.
The administration believes that military force would be one key to stopping the fighting, but the so-called stabilization troops could only move in after a ceasefire. The U.S. rejects calls for an immediate ceasefire, saying Hezbollah would likely keep shooting. Peter Mayer, CBS News, with the president in Miami.
Now this message.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay.
Well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99...
Aflac!
American Family Life Insurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
The morning after pill may be widely available soon. Not the abortion pill, but the one that keeps an ovum from attaching in the first place.
On the eve of a Senate hearing on his nomination to head the FDA, Acting Commissioner Andrew Von Eschenberg has suddenly revived a stalled application for an over-the-counter morning after pill. He says a long-delayed decision now could be made within weeks. But in a letter, he tells the maker of the so-called Plan B pill, the FDA must be convinced sales can be restricted to women over 18, that customer IDs will be checked, and that the drug will be stored behind counters. Even with these conditions, Ann Scheidler of the Pro-Life Action League isn't happy.
I'm sure they're getting a lot of pressure from pharmaceutical companies, the anti-population forces.
Conservatives worry this pill will promote promiscuity. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Nothing like a water park when it's this hot. Those kids having shrieking fun at West Alice Water Park near Milwaukee. Just to the south in Illinois, Steve Harris lives in Chicago looking for a cool glass of water.
We don't realize what the heat will do to you. And people don't have the money to buy it. I mean, it's $1 a bottle in the stores.
Temperature records have been falling like scorched flies. Records tied today in Eau Claire, 102 degrees 98 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In Chicago, two people have died of the heat. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
There's nothing small about today's small business. Big hours make up big work weeks. Every meeting is a big meeting. Every call is a big call. When the only printer for all the computers breaks down, it's a big problem. And now, thanks to Aflac, even small business insurance has gone big. Introducing Aflac for Small Business. Now, your small business can have the same great Aflac products and service the big guys get. For more information, call 1-800-99-AFLAC or visit AflacSB.com.
Aflac!
For small business, American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus, Aflac.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
Tough to make it down on the farm.
It's time for another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and thanks for tuning our way. We know you have other choices. Coming up in our next segment, we'll get an update on the challenge filed to the special election in California's District 50. Attorney Paul Leto will join us, and it was filed just earlier today. Coming up about a half an hour, Matthew Rothschild returns from the Progressive Magazine in Madison, Wisconsin. And he has penned a powerful piece sharply critical of one Condoleezza Rice. We'll share that with you coming up. We are grateful to Chris Tonsing. He is the editor of the Middle East Report. They're online at merip.org. And he has graciously volunteered again this week to join us every day with an update here at the top of the second hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, Peter. How are you?
Tell me just a little bit about your own lifestyle when you have an ongoing conflict like this in the region that you focus on. Are you able to get any downtime and unplug at all, or are you just kind of 24/7 like a code writer?
I force myself to take downtime, but it's often difficult. One is gripped by the news, but it's really been since the fall of 2000, since the outbreak of the second Palestinian Intifada, and then, with September 11th attacks and the lead up to the Iraq War, then the war, then all that's happened since then. Busyness has kind of been institutionalized, so I don't really notice that much.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I've been cruising around on the web just the last few minutes, and I was stunned to see this announcement. This broke on CNN recently. Key Republican breaks with Bush on Mideast. And here's a quote. The sickening slaughter on both sides must end, and it must end now. President Bush must call for an immediate ceasefire. This madness must stop. And that's not the voice of some raving lefty lunatic. This is Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, a decorated veteran of the Vietnam War.
Yes, that comes after Hagel's series of breaks with Bush stay the course policy in Iraq. Hagel has been pretty consistently critical of Bush's head-in-the-sand approach toward Iraq for the last year and a half, and he's made some increasingly sharp comments about that as well. And it's good to see a Republican making those kind of comments. One wishes that the Democratic leadership would also recognize that they have a unique opportunity, which has been actually been going on for some time now, a couple years, to articulate clearly before the American public an alternative foreign policy vision, an alternative vision for U.S. involvement in the Middle East, a more even-handed approach to the Arab-Israeli conflict, for instance. And I really think they would be surprised to find that many Americans are receptive to those ideas. But they remain bunkered down in blinkered old thinking about needing to constantly outflank the Republicans to the right on both anything to do with Israel and anything to do with national security in the post-September 11th environment. And that is, I think, damaging their hopes of gaining seats in the upcoming elections rather than the reverse.
Just to amplify on your comment, you may recall on Friday, shortly after you were with us, I spoke with Congressman Sam Farr, who is a progressive Democrat from our central coast of California and a very bright man. And he introduced a resolution which he acknowledged will go nowhere because the Republican leadership won't permit it, calling for an immediate ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah and Hamas. And in the same interview, almost the same breath, I asked him about the remarkable resolution just a week ago where the House declared that, in its view, Israel was operating in a purely defensive mode. Therefore, they were consistent with the terms of the Arms Export Control Act. And he didn't have a problem with that. And I just find that amazing because I don't find those two positions compatible.
I agree. They're not compatible, and there should be, you know, there should be. The Democrats should put forward a consistent position about whether they support militaristic solutions to political problems. And unfortunately, the Democrats, when it comes to Israel, have over the years proven just as unable to do that as the Republicans. You know, in recent days and last week, we've seen the spectacle of the Democrats trying to move to the right of on Israel, of the, what is undoubtedly the most pro-Israel administration in the history of the United States, the Bush administration. So they still have not changed their calculus. It's up to up to the public to convince them, I think, that that they're ready to hear a different set of ideas about the Middle East.
Well, and to just use the road metaphor, there isn't a whole lot of room on the right shoulder for Democrats on these issues, but somehow, you know, people like Schumer and others seem to be able to squeeze in there. Chris Tonsing with us from the Middle East Report here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Chris, we heard over the weekend Condoleezza Rice had been dispatched. Bush and Blair, of course, a news conference on Friday. Tony Blair is hanging around in Northern California this week. He went to a special closed meeting convened by Rupert Murdoch in our backyard at Pebble Beach. And if there's anybody at Pebble Beach who'd like to tell us what's going on there at Spanish Bay, feel free to give us a call. We'll use our voice altering software to protect your identity. So maybe if you work as a waiter there and you have some intel for us, give us a call at 1-888-5-PETER-B. I'm very curious what is going on there. But Blair appeared to have had some influence on Bush, and they called for a ceasefire. They dispatched Condoleezza Rice to the zone, and then it didn't happen. Tell us how you fill in the blanks between those moments.
Well, the devil is in the details. What they called for was not an immediate ceasefire, but a ceasefire to come after the assembly of some kind of international stabilization force that would be inserted into Lebanon, essentially to achieve what the Israeli Army, Navy, and Air Force have been unable to achieve in 2.5 weeks of fighting, the degrading or serious weakening of Hezbollah's fighting capacity, at least in South Lebanon. Rice went to the Middle East with that mission in mind, and she claimed that she had formed a consensus around some core ideas there. I think that's I think that was always somewhat delusional, and it's doubly so after the Israeli shelling of a three-story house in Qana in mm-hmm. South Lebanon, which killed 56 or 57 Lebanese civilians, depending on which news source is correct. And evoked memories for Lebanese of a previous Israeli shelling of a UN compound in 1996 where numerous Lebanese civilians were taking shelter from Operation Grapes of Wrath, also targeted at cleansing, quote-unquote, South Lebanon of Hezbollah militants. So in the wake of that horrible event, the Lebanese Prime Minister took a stance much closer to Hezbollah's stance and said that there's no reason for Rice to come to Beirut and no reason for her to talk to him, to talk to Rice mm-hmm. until such time as the subject of conversation is an immediate, unconditional ceasefire, and we'll talk about the political issues afterward. He's going to be the pressure on him, Signora, the Lebanese Prime Minister, to dig in his heels, and on that position is going to mount as the fighting goes ahead. Israel announced what they called a curb in aerial activity after the Qana bombing, but that already it's not a ceasefire. The Israeli Prime Minister is clear about that, and the Israeli Prime Minister is also clear that there is not going to be a cessation of the ground incursions that the Israeli Army is making into South Lebanon until such time as they achieve the military goals that they've laid out for themselves. And the curb in aerial activity did not equate to a cessation of bombing either. Mm-hmm. There were Israeli air raids on Lebanon last night and today, and there was also Hezbollah rocket fire at Israel last night and today.
And Chris, one final area I'd like to touch on, and that is that it was announced on Friday that Hezbollah had agreed to most of the terms of a Lebanese plan to call for a ceasefire and try to end the hostilities, and that was flatly rejected by Israel. Was that posturing on Hezbollah's part, or did you think that there were some, something that could be worked with diplomatically?
Well, I think there was definitely something that could be worked with. It is always possible that Hezbollah it was posturing on Hezbollah's part, muscle flexing. Hezbollah certainly is quite confident in their public stances in recent days. They think that they're winning, essentially, on the ground.
Interesting spin.
I'm reserving judgment about that. But
they have their own TV station, Al Manar, so maybe they're taking a page out of O'Reilly's book.
Right, they're certainly doing that. but it was an opening that was worth exploiting rather than shutting the door on it. It's indicative that Israel and the U.S., Israel backed by the U.S., I should say, is not interested in a ceasefire until such time as they think their military goals have been achieved. And so, the relevant question is still how long Washington's green light for these operations is going to continue to burn.
Yeah.
And it looks like that will be some time yet.
Chris Tonsing, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again tomorrow about the same time.
Okay.
Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report on the web, MERIP.org. Coming up next, Attorney Paul Lato joins us to talk about the challenge in California District 50. That's next on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Ever every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This is Hal. I guess there's no traffic, at least at this time, but we will make sure there's a report at 4:45. Thank you.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, up and down the left coast and oozing inland to Sacramento, Phoenix, and points unknown. Yes, accidents will happen. Thank you, Elvis. But I don't think what happened in District 50 was an accident. We're talking about the special election, the runoff that was held concurrent with our primary election on June 6th. And in District 50, voters were selecting the person to finish out the term of convicted felon Duke Cunningham, who had to resign from the House as a result of his bribery convictions. And joining us to update us on developments there is Attorney Paul Leto. He was on our program last week. Paul, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
Nice to talk with you again, and I just want to offer for background, if people weren't listening last week, Paul Leto was deeply involved in the post-election investigation in one of the closest governor's races in American history in Washington State, where Christine Gregoire, the Democrat, was ultimately named governor, but it was a very lengthy process, and as a result, he got interested in voter integrity issues, and he's been retained by the activists in District 50 in Southern California. With that, Paul, tell us what you did today, what you filed.
Well, we filed an election contest petition and a request for a full recount by hand of all the ballots, both touchscreen and optical scan, even though the touchscreen recount isn't anywhere near as meaningful as the optical scan. And, you know, we had a nice press conference today, a little tiny little windbreak of TV cameras, and things are going well.
Great. So you did get some coverage there in the media in San Diego?
Yeah. I think everybody made it except for ABC TV. And, you know, it's nice to see the San Diego Union Tribune covering Mexico City above the fold on the front page today as well. So democracy is breaking out a little bit.
And if people want to get more information, you can go to bradblog.com. That's our favorite website for voter integrity coverage. And Brad claims he's on vacation, but he's filing almost every day. And there's also an item from rawstory.com that covers the news conference that Paul Leto just described to us. Now, two comments. First of all, there's a picture of you, Paul. You're much better looking than I thought from our conversation last week.
Oh, well, then somebody must have touched up the photograph.
Oh, yeah, they fixed it in Photoshop. The other thing is prominently displayed in front of you is a camera with the ABC bug on it. So apparently ABC was there.
Well, and maybe I could be wrong. I stand corrected. So good for ABC.
Well, it may have been an affiliate station, though. It'll be interesting to see if the networks pick up the story. And hopefully people like Lou Dobbs and Catherine Cryer, who have already developed an interest, will cover it on their national programs as well. So where do you think this will go from this point? I understand the court filings can percolate for a long time. But because of the nature of electoral issues, does this get fast-tracked, and will you get a hearing soon?
It does. We have essentially top priority for any kind of a civil case, and there are statutory deadlines. We should be getting a trial date in less than 45 days.
Okay. And are there any pretrial skirmishes that are significant, either in discovery or in trying to establish the facts and the merits of the case?
Yeah, there's going to be, you know, we're going to be moving forward with discovery because they've been dragging their feet on public disclosure requests, and they'll probably do what the defendants usually do on this type of thing, and they file every motion in the book to avoid getting to the merits. So every procedural motion in the book you can think of, they'll bring standing, statute of limitations, the whole works.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
and is
rapid fire.
Is the registrar, Michael Haas, in San Diego being represented by the state attorney general?
Well, yeah, that could be. I mean, when it comes to elections, the local county election officers are considered to be under the supervision of the secretary of state, so they may be represented by the attorney general. We haven't received an appearance yet, but it wouldn't surprise me if he was.
Uh-huh. Because I'm interested in talking with the attorney general to see what his posture is and if he would be willing to intervene here. I think it's complicated because he also technically represents the secretary of state as the legal counsel to constitutional officers. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct. And so the secretary of state would have differing interests because their conditional certification appears fairly clearly to have been violated here, so they may have a conflict in the Attorney General's office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And do you have any other idea what kind of counsel will represent the County of San Diego and Registrar Haas?
Not offhand. I mean, there's local California counsel. He may have a better idea than I would since I'm from the state of Washington, so I don't know right now.
All right. What else would you like to tell us, Paul, about the developments in the case and what you think might happen next?
Well, I think one thing that's emerging here that's quite clear is you look on the official results and you've got these huge absentee voter precincts where there's 4,750% more votes than registered voters in these absentee precincts. There's one that's over 8,000%. You can see that for yourself on the official canvas results. on the Registrar of Voters website. And so, you know, there's an interesting matchup there with the claim that's being brought by the Republicans that, you know, we know that they did bring in some people towards the end of the campaign, but they're saying they found 10,000 absentee ballots the last few days, I think, and now we've got the registrar reporting those absentee ballots in these mega precincts instead of putting in them, you know, where they're supposed to be. So that kind of makes it difficult to reconcile, you know, voters with votes. And so that's kind of a red flag there that we have some issues with absentee ballots and not just sleepovers.
Uh-huh. And I came out of Chicago, Paul, so I know about how dead people can vote and things like that. Is there a suspicion in your view that this large chunk of absentee ballots either could be the result of manipulation of the tabulating machines or stuffed ballots by the Republican operatives?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you say you want to die in Chicago so you can remain active in politics, but, you know, that's not just Chicago. Usually when you got a full-court press like you had here, you know, on June 6th, you're going to have multiple things going on. You're not looking for just one thing. You're probably going to have multiple levels at which things are, there's a little bit of hanky-panky going on. So we'll be looking at everything.
Well, Paul, we'll be in touch. Thanks for your work, and we'll check you out very soon.
All right, thank you.
Paul Leto, District 50, Southern California.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara, a midsize SUV that seats five. With four-wheel drive and a 2.7-liter fuel-injected six-cylinder engine and a five-speed automatic, the Grand Vitara performed very well on a weekend drive to the coast. Good acceleration and passing power, easy to handle, quick to respond. My only complaint is that the four-wheel drive setup makes the steering a little tight at low speeds and requires a bigger turning radius. Inside, it's roomy and attractive with all the accessories you need, including a 6-CD changer with a subwoofer to annoy other drivers. Suzuki offers generous warranties and a great price. The mileage could be better. By the numbers, the 2006 Suzuki Grand Vitara gets 19 mpg in the city, 23 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $23,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly! Oh.
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
From the Left Coast, the Peter B. Collins Show continues. Coming up next hour, we open up the phones to hear from you in the free speech zone. There's a lot to talk about. But first, Matthew Rothschild of The Progressive has a few remarks about Condoleezza Rice.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections.
Exhibit A, Condoleezza Rice, former Stanford provost, an expert on the Soviet Union, a failure as national security advisor. 9/11 occurred on her watch, and then Bush handed her responsibility for management of the occupation in Iraq. And she did such a boffo job. He promoted her to the job previously held by Colin Powell. To talk more about Condi Rice, we turn to Matthew Rothschild of The Progressive. Hello, Matthew. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me back on.
Always a pleasure to talk with you. And I understand you have a big tennis grudge match coming up, about a half an hour?
I do, in 97-degree heat, so I hope I survive.
You taking on John Stossel or who?
Oh, I wish, man.
Hey, first up, I saw your name appended to this full-page ad in the New York Times today from the Tikkun community. Stop the slaughter in Lebanon, Israel, and the occupied territories. Tell us a little bit about this.
You sure did. This is something that's coming out of Michael Lerner's Tikkun magazine and Tikkun community out in California. Tikkun is Hebrew for healing. And I just wanted to add my name to it and add my name to anything that is calling for an immediate ceasefire, recognizing that there are war crimes on both sides, but not shying away from the obvious fact. How could it be more obvious today that Israel is committing war crimes in Lebanon? And I think too many Americans are afraid to stand up and speak that truth, and I certainly wanted to stand up and speak it myself.
Well, I thank you for that, and I thank Rabbi Lerner, too. I think that he has been very effective. His recent book, The Right Hand of God, is very powerful, and he was on our program when it was first released back in May, and I just salute him for the efforts that he's undertaken at some personal risk. And, it's very difficult for Jewish people in the United States to separate themselves from America's total embrace of the government of Israel.
Well, what goes on, Peter, is a nice little game of blackmail, a gagging, a universal gagging, which is to say that if you're Jewish in the United States and you criticize the actions of the government of Israel, you're called a self-hating Jew. And if you're not Jewish and you criticize the actions of the state of Israel, you're called an anti-Semite. So that leaves absolutely nobody who can criticize the actions of the Israeli government. And that's what the supporters of those immoral actions want, nobody to criticize them.
Well, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, Matthew. Last Friday, we had Congressman Sam Farr, a progressive Democrat from California's Central Coast, on the program. And I applauded him for introducing a resolution, which he acknowledges will go nowhere in the Republican-controlled Congress, calling for an immediate ceasefire. And my next topic for him was about the resolution the House passed about 10 days ago, which essentially is trying to change the facts of the situation to comply with the Armed Arms Export Control Act. We sell Israel most of the weapon systems that they have. They're standing by for our resupply of, guided missiles and other armaments that they're using to pummel the landscape of Lebanon right now. And in that exchange, Congressman Farr said he was comfortable with the resolution, which, as I say, attempts to kind of fudge the facts to claim that everything Israel is doing is defensive in nature.
Peter, I read that resolution. It was one of the most disgusting bills I've ever seen. And the vote on it was equally disgusting, something like 410-8.
Yeah.
It was just amazing how lopsided it was. Not a single word criticizing the government of Israel for its war crimes. That's what Amnesty International called them. That's what Human Rights Watch called them. These are war crimes. You cannot go kill, 57 innocent people, including 34 children in the town of Khanna, Lebanon, and not be held accountable to it. What kind of world are we supporting here?
Yeah. And I agree with your characterization of the resolution. The problem I see is that Democrats have been so intimidated over war issues by the Bush administration that they are flat out afraid.
Yeah, there are a couple things going on here. One is that issue, just on general war peace issues. The Democrats since Vietnam have been running for cover, and since 9/11 have been ceding the whole issue of security to George W. Bush. And then there's the question of, if you stick your neck out and criticize the policies of the state of Israel, what price do you pay politically? From the Jewish community that votes in this country, but it's not a monolithic Jewish community. There are liberal Jews, there are progressive Jews who don't support what Israel is doing right now and who would applaud a politician who stood up, and there are Arab Americans who are absolutely aghast at what's going on. So
I think
politicians should reconsider the calculations.
Well, I agree, and I think it is a short-term benefit, if any, because this cements the image, the perception on the Arab street and elsewhere that the U.S. is 100% behind Israel, and I believe that the Bush administration is colluding with the Olmert government, but it's even more believed in Arab nations around the world.
Peter, I think, let's call it what it is. The United States is an accomplice in war crimes. The United States is selling or giving Israel between $3 to $5 billion in military aid or equipment every year. It is resupplying, as you suggested, as we speak, Israel with bombs that they can hit Lebanese villages with. I mean, maybe they were in the same plane that Condoleezza Rice was going over there in, for all I know. I mean, why should we stand by and let this happen? And you're absolutely right. Think about what this does for U.S. security or Israeli security even long term. This can't help Israel survive. What the images of the Khanna bombing yesterday are doing, what those images are doing is creating another generation of terrorists. I mean, if you are a Lebanese or if you are an Arab or a Muslim anywhere and you're seeing those repeated time and time again, little kids from 1 year old to grandparents in wheelchairs being dragged out on stretchers dead, that is just going to inflame you. And a certain percentage of those people inflamed are going to take up arms against the state of Israel and against the United States. How does that make us more secure?
Yeah. Well, and it appears that everyone is willing to forget or just ignore the underlying basis in the Al-Qaeda declaration of war. Was it 97 or 98 when Osama enunciated why he was declaring this fatwa, this jihad, and it fundamentally has to do with U.S. posture toward Israel and American troops on Islamic soil?
That is absolutely what he said. There is another element that we shouldn't ignore, and that is just flat-out anti-Semitism in the Arab and Muslim world. I mean, Osama said it's their right to go kill Jews and Americans wherever they find them, and Hezbollah is terribly anti-Semitic. But the way to deal with those groups is not to recruit terrorists for them, which is exactly what Israel and the United States are doing right now. This is a huge setback, no matter how you look at it.
Matthew Rothschild with us from The Progressive here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You can join us if you'd like, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Matthew, as you look at this situation, do you also hear the analyses of a proxy war, that this is part of Iran's deflection of the issues related to its nuclear intentions and the way the U.S. Overreacted to that, in my opinion, and also that, we are using Israel Israel, in many respects, as a proxy in return.
I do think it's a double proxy war. Let's look at what Bush said. Let's look at what Condoleezza Rice said. Condoleezza Rice said infamously that these are the birth pangs of a new Middle East. I mean, these guys have been eating and drinking their own propaganda. They have such delusions of grandeur. Remember, going to Iraq was going to redraw the map of the Middle East. When that failed, they're going now to Lebanon to redraw the map of the Middle East. And Bush today said we couldn't stand the status quo in the Middle East because the status quo was leading to death. So he wants to, you know, change the status quo. He wants to redraw the map of the Middle East. He said America is opposing the forces of terror. Yes, Hezbollah is a force of terror, but Israel's a force of terror right now, too.
And what do you hear when you hear the phrase durable ceasefire or durable peace?
Well, it is just totally unforgivable that the United States government, that Condoleezza Rice, that George W. Bush, are not calling, even at this late hour, for an immediate ceasefire. That adjective, durable, is a hedge. It just is, in fact, it's more than a hedge. It's a green light for Israel to keep on going killing. And for Condoleezza Rice to stand up today, as she did at a press conference before returning to the United States, and saying, I wanted a ceasefire yesterday, is just the biggest pile of crap I have ever heard. She wanted a ceasefire yesterday. If the U.S. government wanted it, it could have told Israel to stop the bombing right now and get that ceasefire going. This is a charade, and it's one of the ugliest charades I've ever seen.
And also, when Rice and Bush, I think somewhat at the urging of Tony Blair, start to talk about a peacekeeping force of some sort, I believe that they're doing that to create some soothing rhetoric, while the mixed message they send is, we're going to make it as complicated and difficult as possible to put together a peacekeeping force. Israel's already ruled out the UN, and we see the Bush administration kind of moving along a UN peacekeeping track, and I look at that and say, they know what Israel's posture is. They know that the UN already has 2,000 blue helmets on the Lebanese-Israeli border, and there's a general consensus that they're not effective. And I don't, reject the United Nations role out of hand, but I do see this as jockeying and posturing, which is not a sincere approach to trying to find the earliest date for a ceasefire, but is buying time to advance the goals of the U.S. and Israel.
No doubt, Peter. It's a stalling move. It's just, it's four corners. That's all they're doing. And ultimately, I mean, I'm for whatever is going to settle this thing, the soonest. So if that happens tomorrow, I'd applaud it. But I'm not going to have illusions about it. I mean, the mighty Israeli army could not beat Hezbollah when Israel was occupying southern Lebanon. These UN forces aren't going to be able to disarm Hezbollah. And the Lebanese people are now going to be in no position, or the government of which Hezbollah is a part, to disarm Hezbollah. Hezbollah has gotten tremendous credibility because it stood up to Israel right now. So this is going to just be a facade. If it is a facade of peace, I'd rather take a facade of peace than all-out brutal war, which is what we're seeing now. But I've got no illusions that that's going to succeed long-term.
Matthew Rothschild with us from the Progressive Magazine. They're on the web at progressive.org. If you go .com, you got to buy car insurance. We'll continue in just a moment. We'll go to the phones, too. If you'd like to join us, do so. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman.
Resolution 1440 explicitly said that no force could be brought to bear on Iraq until either Hans Blix or Muhammad al-Baradei, one of the two weapons inspectors, had indicated that there were either weapons of mass destruction or evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And only then could force be used against Iraq. And that never happened.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
So here's George Bush saying that we took out Saddam Hussein because he wouldn't let in the weapons inspectors. And it was Bush who pulled the weapons inspectors out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte.
Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery.
In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today.
173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Truck reportedly blocking a lane. Emergency crews responding. And in Gilroy, this is Highway 152 at Lover's Lane. Look out for a disabled big rig that's blocking one of the lanes. And in Santa Cruz County, northbound 1 at San Andreas Road, a structure fire reported that's burning west of the roadway. Smoke is visible from the roadway. Toyota owners, see your genuine Toyota service center for the convenience and value of an Express Loop Plus oil and filter change and tire rotation completed in under an hour. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We are live on KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and
Pebble Beach.
And that's where Sir Rupert Keith Murdoch is partying down behind closed doors at the Inn at Spanish Bay with Al Gore, Bill Clinton, and Bono. Bono's an old buddy of mine. I was one of his first big fans when I was a DJ in San Francisco back in the 70s and 80s. And hey, Bono, if you're within the sound of my voice, give us a call today at 888-5-PETER-B. It's easy, Bono. 888-5-PETER-B. I'd love to talk with you again. I had a great time interviewing The Edge once. I'm a big fan, so give us a call. We'll talk politics, too. And we have developed a source. We'll protect his or her identity, but we have the official bubble watch underway, and we're hoping to get a live insider report before the end of the show today. So stand by for that coming up next hour in the Free Speech Zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we continue with Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. You can read the piece we're describing. It's called Condoleezza Rice, Midwife from Hell. I found it at truthout.org, and I'll bet it's at the Progressive website, too. Right, Matthew?
Sure is. Progressive.org. You know, I usually don't write screaming headlines like that, Peter, but, you know, I was thinking to myself, is our rhetoric really up to the task right now? Is just the mild, reasoned, calm, logical way that I usually like to write what is necessary, what is requisite here, given what's going on over there? And finally, I just had enough and said, I'm going to say it louder. I'm going to say it with a little more outrage, which is what's called for here. So that's why I slapped that one on.
We're playing some music today from the new Spearhead CD, Michael Fronte. You familiar with him?
Yes, sure am. I've
interviewed him. He's a great guy, brilliant, good musician, taller than me, more hair. Anyway, his new CD is called Yell Fire.
Yeah, and he, you know, generally is kind of a mellow guy, too.
Yeah.
But I heard that song the other day, and there's nothing mellow about it. He's rising to the challenge.
Yeah. Hey, before we go back to Condi, do you have any comment on the Murdoch confab on the Central Coast? It's kind of bizarre.
What's bringing them together?
Well, he's paying for it. And Tony Blair is on the West Coast. You may have read the online report last week. There's a rumor that Murdoch has offered Blair a job when he's finished as Prime Minister of Britain.
Well, wouldn't that be delicious?
And, of course, we know that Hillary has accepted Rupert's offer for a fundraiser for her Senate campaign that doesn't need any cash. and so it's kind of an unholy alliance, and that's why I want Bono to call in. I'd like to ask him what his relationship is with Murdoch and if he's comfortable with the Drek Day program on the Fox News Channel.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that the Clintons, well, I guess it's believable, but the Clintons would play footsie with, you know, Mr. Fox.
Yeah.
You know, do they have any pride left? I guess we found out that answer a while ago, but it is shameful.
Yeah. Let me read a couple of paragraphs here, Matthew, because I think this is very powerful, particularly in your windup. You're talking about Condi Rice. The United States and Israel have succeeded only in making heroes of Hezbollah thugs. Rice's green light for Olmert's spilling of red blood has managed only to further enrage the Arab and Muslim world and isolate the United States among its allies, except, of course, for Tony Blair, who is still wagging his tail and licking Bush's face. It is not in the interests of the United States and not in Israel's interests either to show the international community utter disdain, and the war crimes of Israel and Rice's blessing of them will long be remembered. Where was Condoleezza Rice when Israel bombed the only power plant in Gaza, bringing about a humanitarian crisis? Where was Condoleezza Rice when Israel inflicted collective punishment on the sovereign people of Lebanon? Where was Condoleezza Rice when Israel was killing more than 100 Lebanese children? Condoleezza Rice was in Israel's corner. For 5.5 years, Rice did nothing about the most serious problem in the Middle East, and now she's done worse than nothing. Rice believes in the diplomacy of the F-16, and that style of diplomacy is crashing and burning. Very well put, Matthew.
Very well read, Peter.
Oh, well, that's easy. Let's go to Dave in Humboldt. Dave's a progressive. Join us here on the program, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Matthew, very much like your thinking. I'm one of the beliefs that the Hezbollahs are rapidly growing now, or at least their sympathizers. Having bombs and missiles dropped all over your country tends not to make the friends that they plan. And I also do fully suspect that the Khans have their fingers in this and their big global domination, New World Order plans. This plays some part in it. Another point that I think is worthy of noting is an awful lot of the Jewish people, both in Israel and here, are not supporting what's going on. And some of them being quite outspoken. Many of the pilots and soldiers are saying, I will not be a part of it.
Well, I agree with both of those points, Dave. The neocons are behind this. This is kind of a fantasy come true for the neocons. William Kristol over at the Weekly Standard, or Rupert Murdoch magazine, has been long pounding the table for war against Iran and war against Syria. They want this thing not to end. They want it to expand. They want it to grow. That's how crazy they are. And yes, there are many American Jews and even more Jews in Israel who understand that this offensive, these war crimes by the Israeli government, are not making Israel any more secure, and they're immoral on their face. The irony is that people in Israel can dissent, whereas Jews in the United States have less space to dissent, unless you're crazy like me and you don't care about the calumny that will be heaped upon you by members of your own community. But I don't care, and I just am ready to say it as I see it.
Amy Godwin of Democracy Now! Hasn't had one word of sympathy for what the Jews are doing right now.
You know, it's hard to sympathize with what the Israeli government is doing. I can sympathize with Israelis who are living in Haifa. I can sympathize with Israelis who are living north of Haifa who have to fear these rockets that are coming in. No one wants to have to run to the basement or the bombing shelter. That's no way to live. On the other hand, you have to look at the figures here and how lopsided they are. 15 or 20 Israeli civilians have been killed. Not a single one of them deserved to die. But now upwards of 750 Lebanese have been killed, 750. The vast majority of those civilians, and maybe 400 of them or 300 of them, children. What responsibility at all do those children have for Hezbollah? How guilty are they to be killed? I mean, we've got to really stop this thing.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, guys, for a pocket of free speech.
Okay, we're doing what we can. And, Matthew, our senior senator, Dianne Feinstein, here in California, has explicitly stated that the survival of Israel is at stake.
Well, I think she's right. I think the survival of Israel is at stake when Israel takes these crazy, inflammatory actions that in the long term are jeopardizing the very existence of the state of Israel. Israel cannot win militarily, as mighty as it is. The United States can't win, ultimately, militarily. And Israel especially, surrounded as it is there in the Arab world, it does have peace agreements with Jordan and with Egypt, but if I'm Mubarak today, I'm getting a couple more security guards. So how how this action helps Israel's long-term security is something you're going to have to put to Dianne Feinstein, because I sure don't see it.
Yeah. And, Matthew, finally, is Condoleezza Rice untouchable? She's got a special relationship with the president, and I'm not alluding to anything intimate. That may be, but I have no knowledge. She is an African-American female, first in the Secretary of State post of all those factors. And is she kind of like Clarence Thomas, just a conservative who is untouchable either from the left or the right?
Oh, I don't think so. I don't believe in people getting that kind of status. I think she's in tight with Bush, not in the way that you were suggesting or others have been suggesting, but I just think she's, you know, Bush is such a delegator, you know, if they got a problem, I'm going to give it to Condi. Got a problem, you know, go see Karl Rove. That's how he acts, because he's so lazy. And so I think he's got full confidence in Condoleezza Rice, and so she's not going to go anywhere. She is an example of the Peter Principle rising to her level of incompetence or a couple levels above it. But does that mean because she's an African-American woman, first African-American woman to be Secretary of State, we need to bite our tongues? I don't believe ever in biting my tongue, really.
All right. Just be careful with that Peter thing, will you? Good luck in your tennis match. 97 degrees and the humidity in Madison is what?
Oh, I don't know. It's about 89%.
Okay, good luck. I hope you survive. Talk to you again soon. Matthew Rothschild from The Progressive. Coming up next, we open up the phones in the free speed zone. I've got some ideas about what California would be like if it were Iraq. Jake from Arcata sent us a piece about Ann Coulter. We'll give you some excerpts. And your call's coming up next at 1-888-5-PETER-B. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. It's hot and dry. More than 60% of the country is in a drought. Temperature records have been dropping along with the integrity of electric power grids.
They've been over 100 for about 4 or 5 straight days.
A plaintive note in Joe Stark's voice there at a Denny's restaurant in Bismarck, North Dakota. The temperature hit 100.9 degrees in Minneapolis, Minnesota today. First time since 95, and it's the hottest July since 1935.
The water of the waiting pool is quite inviting.
What are you doing to stay cool besides hitting the water?
I'm drinking lots of lemonade.
Been tough so far on you?
It hasn't been too bad because we're lucky and we have some central air conditioning running, so we're pretty lucky.
This pool is not nearly as busy as it would be if the temperature were 10 to 15 degrees cooler. Many are just staying inside the comfort of their air-conditioned homes. Adam Carter, CBS News, Minneapolis.
It's so hot in the Midwest, the operator of the electric power grid for 15 states in the region says it's tough to keep up.
Conservation is never a bad idea when the weather is this warm. Folks should consider putting off using high draw appliances until later in the evening. Just the common sense things like that would certainly be helpful.
Carl Dombeck at the Midwest Independent System Operator. Israel plans to go back to work after the 48-hour hold on airstrikes. CBS's Dan Raviv.
A late-night session here, Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and his security cabinet gave the Army the okay to expand the ground offensive into Lebanon. More troops and tanks have been seen in northern Israel heading toward the border. We're about halfway through a suspension of the Air Force bombing campaign, but airstrikes are likely to resume after the 48 hours are over. And Prime Minister Olmert, in a speech, said the war will continue until the threat of Hezbollah rockets is eliminated.
President Bush huddles with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, but not to talk about a ceasefire.
President Bush says he's still opposed to an immediate ceasefire along the Israel-Lebanon border.
See, stopping for the sake of stopping could be okay, except it won't address the root causes of the problem.
He told Fox News in Miami he thinks the Israeli bombing of Khanna was terrible, but plenty of Israelis are suffering too.
It's also awful that a million Israelis are worried about rockets being fired from their neighbor to the north.
Back at the White House, President Bush meets with Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice as she returns from the Middle East to plot the administration's next move on bringing calm to the region. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Survey finds one-third of married people would like someone else to decide medical questions when health fails.
There was somebody in the family that they both wanted who was more savvy, more knew their way around the system better.
Dr. Michael Lipkin at Northwestern University. Mel Gibson, box office monster, acknowledges saying some pretty monstrous things when he was arrested for suspicion of DUI. Prosecutors could bring formal charges this week. Wall Street, the Dow lost 34 points, NASDAQ off nearly 3. This is CBS News.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
I want to let you in on a little secret, but before I do, could all you car dealers, bankers, and credit card companies switch over to the All Sappy Love Songs All Day Long station? Good. For the rest of you, here's the secret. FreeCreditReport.com. If you know your credit score going in, you may be able to cut a better deal on car loans, refis, even credit cards. And you'll find your free credit score and report at FreeCreditReport.com. That's the secret. Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at FreeCreditReport.com. Get the score.
So many transplants planned, so few kidneys to go around.
About 89,000 Americans are waiting for kidney transplants. In this country, donors are either people who are living or declared brain dead in hospitals. Spain has had success transplanting kidneys from people who suffer from cardiac arrest outside of hospitals. Now, a study in the Annals of Internal Medicine finds that survival rates are roughly the same for these donors as for others.
CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato. The key is to be able to harvest the kidneys quickly before they decay. An unusual announcement from British Prime Minister Tony Blair and California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. A joint effort to explore ways to fight global warming, bypassing the federal government. Collaborative research into clean-burning fuels and technologies and a credits system like the utilities and big industries use to pollute. This would be to emit greenhouse gases. President Bush has rejected the idea of ordering cuts in the production of carbon dioxide so far. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
To increase driving pleasure for all motorists, the Michelin Man is on a door-to-door quest to collect signatures for a petition to build an American Autobahn. Visit MichelinMan.com to learn how the uncompromising performance of Michelin MX Series touring tires can give you the confidence to achieve driving bliss on any road you travel. To find a Michelin dealer near you, call 1-800-MICHELIN. Michelin, a better way forward.
Aflac for small business.
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm a flea.
Okay, well, it is a dog-eat-dog world out there.
Look, I got a family business. Oh, here comes Paw.
Oh, your dad?
No, a Paw!
Well, with Aflac for small business, you get a lot of the benefits of a big business at no direct cost to you.
Oh, like a flea market?
Well, sort of. Visit AflacSB.com or call 1-800-99.
Aflac!
American Family Life Assurance Company of Columbus. Aflac.
And we roll on with the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm still your humble host, Peter B. It's the Free Speed Zone. Talk, 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 talk. That's a song called Talk Talk, and the name of the group is Talk Talk. Either very simple or highly confusing. Take your pick. And in the free speech zone today, we've got so many things we can talk about. My lines are open for you. The number to call is our brand new toll-free number, 888-5-PETER-B. It doesn't matter where you're calling from, anywhere in the continental U.S., 888-5-PETER-B. You prefer digits? 888-573-8372. 1-888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. That's the way to get through to our program today. And as you know, I accept calls on any subject from any point of view from anywhere within the sound of my voice. That means conservatives are allowed to call. That means people who disagree with me about the conflict in Israel, Palestine, and Lebanon right now. You're welcome to call. We really do respect your free speech rights. Doesn't mean I won't argue with you, but I'm going to let you talk. So get on the line now if there's something you would like to talk about here this afternoon. We welcome your participation. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. A little later this hour, I have an update for Millie, who called last week and asked a question about missile defense for Israel. Got some news about that for you. I also have a very interesting commentary piece from the Daily Kos that takes you into a fantasy world where California is Iraq. And it's a dark fantasy. We'll share that with you a little bit later on. Also, very, very late on Friday night or early Saturday morning, the House passed a bill which would increase the minimum wage. But you know the Republicans. They had to jam it to the working stiffs. It changes the way tip income is computed as part of the minimum wage. And guess what? People who require or who rely on tips for part of their income will lose the minimum wage currently guaranteed to them. And the Republicans, in a bit of political chicanery, tied it to reductions in the estate tax. That's right. We're going to peel off more savings for millionaires and give a few crumbs to the working class. It is so insulting and cynical. And so consistent with Republican behavior in Washington these days. So those topics are all up for grabs. And I want to put out the APB for anybody who can give us an update on the Bubba Bono Murdoch Fest, which is underway, started last night at the Inn at Spanish Bay. That's one of the golf resorts that's part of the Pebble Beach complex along the Central Coast. Rupert Murdoch is throwing the party. Bono is there. Bill Clinton is there. Al Gore is there. Tony Blair is there. And many lesser names. And we do have one source who has quietly, furtively come forward, whom we hope to hear from later this hour, who, he or she has credentials. We'll put it that way. And if you know anything about that, and maybe you ran into Bono at a coffee shop, or you changed the pillowcase in his hotel room, any information you can bring up, we would love to hear, because we'd like to know what's going on. It's kind of like the Bohemian Grove encampment. All these powerful, wealthy people with connections to Murdoch gathering behind closed doors, media not invited. Well, if you're in the know, share it with us. And if you want to adopt an assumed name or disguise your voice, anything like that, we want to protect your job, particularly if you happen to be a waiter or a driver or somebody like that. So the number to call if you have information on the Bubba Bono Murdoch Watch, 888-5-PETER-B. I like the way that rolls. Bubba Bono Murdoch. Say that 10 times fast. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And we have Susan on the line from Santa Cruz. Thanks for your call, Susan. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. I have no credentials, and Hal says I have a distinctive voice, so I can't fit those guidelines. But anyway, I just wanted to say I tried to reach you, but you know your number is wrong on the
website.
Website, and Hal gave me the wrong number too.
Well, we'll slap Hal around. But the other thing is that we're working on the website, and it should be updated within a week or so.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say about this craziness in Lebanon. We can't call Israel terrorists, because that's like calling the cat calling the kettle black. It's we're doing the same thing. If we call them what we are, that's kind of almost impossible for the consciousness to take, you know, of these guys anyway who don't see themselves that way.
Well, let me just, I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
The U.S. is hypocritical.
Absolutely.
And we
you got it, Peter.
we act as if all of the right and the moral rectitude is on our side.
Right, it's all in our pocket and nobody else's.
Yeah.
And they're just plain, I hate to use this word, wrong.
Oh, but Susan, God talks to George W. Bush.
He talks to me, too. And he tells me that GWB better get the heck out of there and stop mouthing off the way he mouths off because G.O.D. does not like it.
But Susan, what about the fact that America's a Christian nation?
Well, you see, we're not. We never have been. And I have a hard time with this all. I swear to you. I mean, my mom was Jewish. I didn't get raised that way, but my mom was. And last night I heard a lot of anti-Semitic rhetoric from my neighbor, you know, about these Jews. They always want more and blah, 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 you know. And I said,
now, wait a minute. Did Mel Gibson move in next to you?
Well, kind of. He has light blue eyes. But, you know, it's just kind of, it was rough. It was a rough moment, and I just said to him, look, you know, my mother was Jewish. I really don't like to hear that kind of thing. If you want to talk about Israel, talk about Israel. Don't just condemn the Jewish people.
Well, that's very well put. And I hope, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I believe on this program we have made that clear distinction, that we criticize the government of Israel, but it is not anti-Semitism, it is not a slam at the Jewish people, and I have never for a moment ever suggested that Israel does not have a right to exist and to properly defend itself.
Oh, it certainly does. That's for sure. But the way it's going about it is kind of crazy. And I really would like to see us kind of, I know it's kind of hard to do, but to lump it all together, you know, to address all of the warmongers,
uh-huh,
you know, and to see, to look for the solutions that reach beyond.
Understood. Susan, you sent me some information about Eliyahu, who is going to be in the area on August 6th, this
right,
coming weekend. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he's an amazing man. He's a young man. He's an American Scottish Jew, and he went to Israel, I guess, some years ago to test that out, as a lot of young kids do. And he learned Hebrew, and he got involved, you know, with this reconciliation group, and especially with an older man named Ibrahim, who also comes here about once a year, who's an amazing man.
Mm-hmm.
And he was about 60, and they kind of met and looked at each other and went, whew, you're the one, you know. So they began to work together, and they work with imams and sheikhs and priests and the Druids, I don't know what you call their guys. And they got together, and they do these suhas, which are absolutely amazing, where they all get together and they express and they reach into the part of them where there is no enmity, into the heart.
And tell us where and when.
Well, they do this in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Ibrahim's family has lived on the Mount of Olives for 1,100 years. And he says that everybody in that area always got along. They didn't have this problem going on. So this is all kind of relatively new. And so they work with each other there. They meet in Jerusalem. I think it's every Friday night or something, they all meet at this place and do something. I don't know if it's a witness thing or what.
Okay, and the event in our area?
The event in our area is supposed to happen at the temple, Bethel, I guess it is. I've only been there once. You can see I'm no kind of Jew at all. That's on Sunday evening.
Okay.
I think I sent you some information.
You did, and you know what? You put it in a some kind of a compressed attachment, and I can't.
Okay.
I can't open it. Otherwise,
so
I just.
What I'll have to do is I'll have to send you the proper time. It's something like 7:30 or something like
okay.
that.
Okay. If you send it along, I'll be happy to announce it a couple of times between now and the end of the week.
Good. Oh, good. Well, he'll be describing what they do, these sulhas, and they also do camps for the children to mm-hmm. bring them together. And it's just absolutely amazing, and I think that's where peace begins.
All right. We're going to check it out. Susan, thanks for your
All
call.
Right.
And
thank you, Peter.
Thanks for your activism. We always appreciate that.
Bye.
More of your calls coming up next. 888-5 Peter B. It's the Free Speech Zone. 888-5 Peter B. 17 minutes past the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Gilroy eastbound 152, this is at Lover's Lane. We have a disabled vehicle. This is actually a stalled big rig blocking one of the lanes there. Tow truck is responding to that scene. And we have no stalls or accidents to report on Highway 17. And we do have a little bit of slow traffic northbound and southbound 101, heavy in and out of Salinas. Northbound 101 also slows at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff, so you can expect delays there. Technical professionals, sales, retail, management, and all other job seekers go to the Mercury News Career Fair this Wednesday at the Santa Clara Convention Center. Over 50 companies and growing. Go to mercurynews.info for details. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We are in the free speed zone. All my lines are on hold right now. Thank you for calling. Stay there. We'll get to you as quickly as we can. And when a line clears, call me at 888-5-PETER-B. And up first, we have Lisa in Eureka. Thanks for calling, and thanks for holding on, Lisa. You're on here.
Oh, thank you, Peter. This has been a real tough hold.
Yes, I believe it.
Well, the last of our mom-and-pop cell phone companies is gone, and they were bought out by a big company, and now we have a lot of dropped calls. So it's my cell phone.
Can it be singular?
No, I'm not saying the name, but no, it's not.
Oh, well, I'm stuck with singular, and my contract's up in September, and I can't wait to get out.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, my contract's not up till December, but I have until, I think, August 25th to make a final decision if I want to stay.
Okay.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, as far as minimum wage is concerned, and those who take tips, California has a higher minimum wage, and most of the people that I know that are wait staff get the minimum wage plus their tip.
Right.
My younger sister lives in Mississippi. She gets $3.22 an hour.
Wow. That plus tips or?
Plus tips.
Yeah.
But I thought national minimum wage was $5.15.
Well, as I understand the House bill, and I haven't read the bill itself, but the news accounts indicate that it will include tip income with the minimum wage, and so, you know,
that's what they're doing in Mississippi already. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well,
she gets paid her $3 and change an hour, and then she's got her tips, which they include as part of her minimum wage.
Wow. Well, it's just amazing, and it shocks whatever is left of my conscience that the Republican leadership could, you know, take the minimum wage increase, turn it on its ear, and then link it to a rollback in the estate tax.
Yeah, well, you know, you take from those who have not, and you give to those who have. They're the backwards Robin Hoods.
Wow. Well,
yeah, it's very scary, and I keep telling you, it's looking better and better, getting out of here.
All right, well, when you move to Australia, buy a house that has room for me.
You got it.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, Lisa. More of your calls in just a second. I want to take a moment here to salute Millie, who called our program the other day, and Millie asked the question, did the U.S. give Israel any assistance with a missile defense effort? And I said I wasn't sure that I had heard that we had given some advanced patriots to Japan to try to reduce their fears of an attack from North Korea. Well, William J. Broad, who is a very credible science writer for the New York Times, published on Sunday, U.S. and Israel shelved laser as a defense. Last September, after spending more than $300 million, the U.S. and Israel quietly shelved an experimental laser-guided rocket destruction system, mainly because of its bulkiness, high costs, and poor results on the battlefield. Frankly, its performance was not great, said Penrose C. Albright, a former Pentagon official who helped initiate the project. Under certain conditions, you can make it work, but under salvo or cloudy conditions, you've got problems, and in northern Israel, those problems are pretty common. So the project was to build an anti-Katyusha shield called the Tactical High Energy Laser, approved by the U.S. and Israel in April of 96. TRW got the contract, $89 million to design it, but we've spent over $300 million on it, and it doesn't work. So we have shelved it. Steve in Monterey, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Thanks, Peter. Bono hasn't called. I'm sure he's listening with Al. I need to ask Al, does he seriously expect this toadying to Rupert is going to get the Fox News Corporation to suddenly embrace the concept of global warming?
I don't know that. I can't understand why Gore would be there. Bill Clinton, you know, I get the picture. I also feel that Bono ought to have higher standards. And Bono, if you're listening, Mr. Hewson, give me a call and tell me your thoughts about why you would attend a secret conference hosted by Rupert Murdoch. We understand the title of it is called The Future of News Worldwide.
Scary.
And given what Rupert Murdoch has done to news worldwide to suggest that he has a handle on the future,
ooh,
that's really scary, Steve.
Peter?
Yeah?
just back on Israel, if it's we don't have much time.
Yeah, go ahead.
But isn't it obvious that Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse were terrorists, but no sane white person would call Custer a terrorist?
That's a good point. Thank you for that thought, Steve.
Yeah.
Good to hear from you today. Let's see who's next here. Line four is Pat in Eureka. Hello, Pat. It's Peter B.
Hey, how you doing, Peter?
I'm okay, thanks.
Good. Yeah, actually, a couple different things. And I'm going to shift really quickly and get out real quick.
All right. If I get whiplash, I'll blame you. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, I think that meeting with Rupert actually has potential.
All right.
I mean, you have to meet with the enemy to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're dealing with the same thing. I mean, obviously there are two differing opinions with what's going on with Lebanon. I mean, there are two different sides. So you've got that situation, and you've got the same thing with Rupert Murdoch and, I presume, Bono and his agenda. And so, you know, you have to sit down and talk before you can do anything else.
Well, you know, I don't object to that, but this is a meeting that is closed to the media and the public. This is a highly manipulative, wealthy man who has damaged the media worldwide. He's the one who caved into China and censors Sky Television as it comes into China. He is a guy who, you know, has funded the Fox News Channel, which has a little bit of a political agenda.
Just a hint. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100% on that one.
And so I don't say that Hillary Clinton should never talk to him, but she shouldn't accept his largesse. She doesn't need the money for her Senate race, and you know, for him to host a fundraiser sends the wrong message. It says that she doesn't understand the problems of media consolidation, the control that mega corporations and billionaires like Murdoch have over our news media, and it brings us, you know, Natalie Holloway instead of real coverage of the real issues in the Middle East. You know, I just think at some point they can have a meeting, and then they can come outside and say, well, here's what we told Mr. Murdoch about what we don't like about his media empire. That ain't going to happen in Pebble Beach.
You're absolutely right. And I, you know,
if it does, I will swallow a golf tee live on the radio.
Okay.
I got to run here, Pat. If you have more, I'll hold you over to the next segment.
Not a problem.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for checking in. 1-888-5-PETER-B. Your free speech zone is open right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131. Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for Extraordinary Progressive Talk, number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. Fresh from Michael Fronte and Spearhead.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies. It's time to go home, to take our boys away, no. To take our girls away, no.
Yeah, it's time to go home from Iraq. It's a powerful new CD of politically infused musical commentary from San Francisco artist and the leader of a group called Spearhead, Michael Fronte. Picked it up yesterday and just getting into it. Pretty powerful song here that leads off the CD called Time to Go Home.
Those who build walls.
We're in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls are welcome. I've got some lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. And if you're an insider at the Rupert Murdoch confab that's underway at Pebble Beach right now, you go to the front of the line, 888-5-PETER-B. Bono, you can give us a call. President Clinton, I'll talk with you too. And if Tony Blair's within the sound of my voice, Mr. Prime Minister, go ahead and call the program. 888-5-PETER-B. And next we go to Howard in Carmel. Thanks, Howard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. I have a couple of thoughts. The first one's a short one.
Okay.
Regarding Mel Gibson's comments, he's trying to blame it on the alcohol.
Right.
Well, you've heard the expression in vino veritas.
See?
So, you know, what he did under the influence of alcohol was what's really inside. And so no amount of covering that up will change that.
I'll only say this, that I don't know Mel Gibson,
and I don't know how much of a drinking problem he has. I will say that what you described is consistent in so many cases. When people drink, it does allow them to express the dirty thoughts that they otherwise keep locked up. And we know the history in his family. We know some of the expressions that he has made in a guarded way in the past. And so I have to say that it's very unfortunate for Mel Gibson that he drank too much and got popped on Friday night. And he compounded it with apparently the remarks he made to a police officer who is ready to jot down every last word. And that officer is promising to release that information in an unsanitized form.
Great.
So I have to say that, you know, I have mixed feelings because I'm a tolerant guy who was raised as a Catholic, and I don't like to sit in judgment of other people hoping that they'll treat me the same way. On the other hand, when somebody like Mel Gibson goes so public with his religiosity and tries to define Christianity and Catholicism in his own very extreme terms, then it's hard not to look at an episode like this and say, what a frickin' hypocrite.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got another thought here.
All right.
This thing with Iran. Iran has been funding and stimulating and pushing Hezbollah to make as much trouble as possible for Israel, firing longer and longer range rockets and providing them and funding them with those rockets. But now they've threatened to attack American and Israeli targets all over the world. Well, you know, they don't have to smuggle rockets into the United States to do damage. All they have to do is smuggle them into Mexico, and that's certainly not going to be difficult. And we have.
Oh, but we're going to seal that border in the next 20 minutes. Didn't you hear?
Yeah, but sealing it doesn't matter if they're 20 miles inside the border. You've got San Diego, Nogales. You have Brownsville right up against the border. And other cities within 20 or 30 miles.
It's certainly possible. I regard it as somewhat remote.
I regard it as somewhat remote too, but you know, it's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
We already have experienced hate crimes, you know, Muslim going nuts in Seattle. And every mosque in the United States apparently preaches destruction of the United States. Every mosque all over the world, actually.
Well, that's extreme. I think that there are the Wahhabists. You know, that is the very extreme form of Islam. And if you were to limit your comment to Wahhabi Islam, you might be accurate. I don't think that the general Muslim community around the world harbors the same hatred for the United States. Now, it has changed because of our invasion of Iraq.
Peter, I worked with a Palestinian in Silicon Valley some time back, and what he did on his off hours was he went around the local Arab community collecting funds to send back to the Palestinians in Israel for their intifada. That's what he did. And there was quite a large community of people willing to give to that cause. And that was just in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the country, I mean, there's millions of Muslims donating for the same cause.
Well, I would like to say that there is truth in what you're saying, and I'm not denying that explicitly. I just don't want to be overly broad, because there have been Islamic charities that were clearly collecting money to support suicide bombers and other types of action against Israel.
Yeah.
And yes, they have collected money in the United States, but it's a relatively small group of people. And I just, for example, know many very fine Arab Americans who live in Detroit who are not even Islamic.
Okay, so
there are a lot of people who make sweeping generalizations about, for example, Arab Americans.
There are large groups of
Arab Americans who are not Muslims.
Let's not even say all of them. Let's say maybe 1% of the 5 million or so are Wahhabis or militant Islamists. 1% is still an awful lot of damage that could be done if Iran just decided to call them all to action.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm not disputing that. On the other hand, we have the case of the Lodi Mosque, where a father and son, the Hayats, mm-hmm. were, in my view, framed by the U.S. government, by an FBI informant.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Who was paid a couple of $100,000 to basically lead this this kid into incriminating activities and statements. And, you know, so I wish that the FBI were really aiming at that 1%, if it is 1%, that you just described. And instead, we see the gang that can't shoot straight in Miami that had designs on the Sears Tower. We have the group that met on the Internet and never did a thing, but, you know, talked about blowing up the path tunnel into New York. And we see that hyped as the war on terror.
Right.
And yet we don't see real efforts made to deal with the real threats, some of which you've alluded to.
Well, so let's think about this. We all like to laugh at W because he's so stupid. Let's assume that he's not stupid and that everything that's happening on his watch is exactly what he wants to happen. That's a much darker view of things.
Indeed, and I think people need to visit that dark corner once in a while because some of it may pan out to, you know, historically when we look back to be accurate.
I mean, you'd think if he was just really stupid that some of his decisions would be good, some bad, and some neutral. But it turns out that all of them are bad.
Howard, thanks
so
for
this is not a stupidity thing. This is dark.
Well, your comment is consistent with George Lakoff, and if you go to rockridgeinstitute.org, that's yeah. Lakoff's website, and he went to some lengths to try to tangle or at least argue with progressives who want to write Bush off as stupid, because Bush has accomplished a great deal of a very dark agenda. Thanks for your call, Howard. Now to Jerry in Delray Oaks. Thanks for holding, Jerry. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. You weren't for a minute suggesting that the Bush administration would trump up any charges against groups to have us think that there was really terrorists going on in this country, would you? I mean,
it was more than
Miami.
It was more than a minute.
So I want to just take issue with you a little bit on Rupert Murdoch. I think Pat from Eureka kind of stole my thunder. I don't mind a bit that Murdoch is out there with Clintons and Gore. You know, he has a company called News Corporation. He owns it. It's his dime. He's pulled together, 250 or so executives of his corporation to come out and listen to these people speak. And I say, great. Yeah, he's done some damage in the news, for sure. But supposing, I've always thought that Murdoch is at first a businessman. And that I think as the tides begin to turn, and they will, we'll see a more progressive era come in, that you're going to see him mirror that era because that's what's going to sell soap. I don't think Murdoch, having those conferences is all a bad idea. You imagine being in a room with a guy like Al Gore, he'll be presenting his film, and people having a dialogue with him one-on-one. Probably a lot of those guys in there were Bush supporters, but now they get a chance to talk with Clinton and see him up close and personal and with Gore. And who knows, maybe some minds are changed. I think that's where it starts. And if we're going to excoriate Bush and Condoleezza Rice for not meeting with Syria, not talking to the enemy as diplomacy calls for, then I think we're doing ourselves a disservice if we don't give credit where credit is due. And I say, fine, Hillary, go there. Fine, Bill, go there. Go there, Al. Go there, Bono. Maybe they'll have some influence, and maybe something good will come out of it. Certainly not going there or not talking to these people is not a good thing. And I give credit to Murdoch. I say, hey, you know, if he wants to listen to them, bring them on.
Well, I understand your point. I respect it. My issue is not that they shouldn't speak to him. It's that they are coming to this closed conference, and I believe they're advancing some of the nefarious aims of Rupert Murdoch. And to the extent that Gore can persuade Murdoch about climate change, that's great. To the extent Bono can get him to try to cover the disaster in Somalia that we covered on our program last week that we've seen nothing about in the corporate media, that's great. But why does it have to be a secret meeting at a posh resort?
What's so secret about it? You're talking about it. It's been known about it. I've been reading about it. I don't see it so secret. It's his dime. It's his corporation. If he wants to meet anywhere and not invite the public, that's him. I mean, I don't care about that. First of all, or second of all, or third of all, I don't know how many points I'm going to say, but I think we will find out a lot more about this. I think there will be information out about it, and I'll bet you it'll come out of some of the people that are there as speakers.
All right, then, Jerry, why don't you head for the 17-mile drive right now and sneak into Spanish Bay? There's a really nice jacuzzi at the inn at Spanish Bay. I once hopped in that jacuzzi, and Dr. J was there, Julius Irving from the 76ers.
And
we had a delightful conversation. So wonderful things can happen there at Pebble Beach, and why don't you get into the mix, and you can become our undercover reporter and check in.
I'll say I'm on a mission from Peter B.
That's not a bad idea. All right, Jerry.
I may call you back.
Thanks a lot. And my lines are open. If you are privy to anything that's going on at the Bono Bubba Murdoch Fest at Pebble Beach, give us a call. Tell us what you know. Lines are available right now, 888-5-PETER-B. And if you agree with Jerry that I'm off base, go ahead and you can tell me that. Or maybe you think that people like Clinton and Gore should go ahead and have meetings with Murdoch, but not necessarily on his terms. No, let me know what you think. 888-5-PETER-B as we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show.
ARXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you can strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in Monterey.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Traffic collision, this in Monterey, southbound 101 at Red Barn. Emergency crews responding to the scene. This is an accident involving a big rig and a vehicle. Looks like there's debris scattered all over the roadway. Another earlier problem, this in Gilroy, eastbound Highway 152 at Lover's Lane, a disabled vehicle. This is actually a stalled big rig that was blocking the eastbound lane. The CHP is conducting traffic control past that scene, so you can expect delays there. Win a trip to see the hottest music downtown show in Times Square, a private tour of the studio, and a chance to meet the talent. Visit iCanAffordCollege.com and click on to register and learn to enter and get the official rules. Ashley Lane with traffic on KRXA 540.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines open for you in the free speech zone at 1-888-5-PETER-B.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I take a look at my life and realize there's nothing left. Cause I've been blasting and laughing so long that even my mama thinks that my mind is gone. But I ain't never crossed a man that didn't deserve it. Me be treated like a punk, you know that's unheard of. You better watch how you're talking and where you're walking, or you and your homies might be lying to talk. I really hate the trip, but I gotta low. As they croak, I see myself in the pistol smoke. I'm the kind of G the little homies wanna be like, on my knees in the night, saying prayers in the streetlight.
Yes, California is a gangster's paradise, right? You got that, homeboy. I want to take you into an interesting parallel universe. This is created by a blogger named Dancewater, who posted this over the weekend at Daily Kos. Below is a list of security incidents from one day, July 11th, 2006, in Iraq. Iraq is slightly bigger than California, and Iraq has a slightly smaller population, but they're close. Now, join with us on an imaginary situation where the Chinese army invaded California to rid the country of California of an evil governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger. The Chinese military is still there 3 years after the invasion, but California has held elections and now has a new governor and cabinet. The California National Guard is being refit and retrained, but they have no Air Force or heavy artillery. There are lots of Chinese advisors in the country, but California is awash in violence. The occupying Chinese troops don't know a word of English or Spanish and have no understanding of the culture of the two primary religions, Catholic and Baptist. So, based on that premise, here is a partial listing of security events in California. A bomb planted under a fuel tanker exploded between a market and a medical center in the southeastern greater Los Angeles suburb of Whittier, killing two people, wounding 18. Gunmen in three cars attacked an Indian import-export company in the upscale Beverly Hills neighborhood in western L.A., killing five California employees before fleeing. Gunmen killed at least 10 people in L.A. Tuesday in an ambush attack on a vehicle carrying a coffin for burial in the Catholic cemetery in Santa Clarita. The attack took place in Glendale, a predominantly Baptist Anglo city. California's consul to the Mexican District of Sonora, Andrew Schmidt, was abducted near his home in Los Angeles' mostly Catholic neighborhood of Long Beach. At least five people were killed, 10 others wounded, when a suicide bomber blew himself up outside the L.A. heavily fortified Green Zone. Gunmen stormed the greater Los Angeles offices of a Mexican contracting company and sprayed its employees with bullets, killing eight and wounding one on Tuesday. The attack took place in the suburb of Norwalk. A car bomb killed three people and wounded seven in greater L.A. in the central Willowbrook district on Tuesday. Gunmen blocked streets in the mostly Baptist area of Inglewood in greater L.A. and opened fire on a Baptist church Monday. No casualties. Nine California National Guard were killed, four wounded Monday when gunmen attacked them in Monterey, 300 miles north of L.A. A civilian was wounded in the attack. Gunmen killed an engineer working for the North Oil Company along with his driver while he was heading to work in the northern oil city of Redding. Now, Coolio's music ran out. The article goes on. You can read it for yourself at dailycoast.com. And if you joined in the middle, what I read was a fantasy based on the facts from a single day in Iraq and transposed to California. I think it's very powerful and rather eerie. Another item that came my way over the weekend, thanks to Jake in Arcata, is an op-ed piece that he has attempted to get published in the Eureka Reporter newspaper. And it was a response to a letter to the editor from another reader of that paper. And it has to do with one of our favorite right-wing punching bags, Ann Coulter. And I've got a couple of minutes here, so let me read what I can from Jake's op-ed piece, because, number one, I think it deserves to be published or at least heard, and number two, I think it's pretty amusing. So Jake starts off in her recent letter to the Eureka Reporter. Colleen Hedrick is the person who wrote it, spewed forth the following right-wing rhetoric. Let me turn the page here. Freedom of speech gives Ann Coulter as much right to express her opinions in her book Godless as the rights accorded Michael Moore, Cindy Sheehan, and the four widows known as the Jersey Girls who have such high visibility. It is possible to make being bereaved... Oh, I'm sorry. It is possible to make being a bereaved person a lifestyle. One wonders also about Sheehan's young son while his mother consorts with dictators and liberal media. The government benefits given to the surviving 9/11 parents are no small factor in the girls making the rounds. It would have been easier to sympathize with these women if they'd placed the blame on the terrorists instead of on everyone else. So that was the original letter that offended Jake. And he wrote, not only does Hedrick take every tired shot she can at Cindy Sheehan and the grieving family members of the 9/11 victims, Hedrick goes so far as to magically absolve Osama bin Laden's longtime business partner, George, the war president Bush, from responsibility or blame for the so-called surprise attacks of 9/11. Clearly, Colleen Hedrick, like her heroine Ann Adams Apple Coulter, has no idea what really happened in America on September 11, 2001. Idiotic hate merchants like Ann the Man Coulter should get up to speed on the 9/11 truth issue before slandering the 9/11 victims and their families. The American people deserve to know the truth for a change, but Andy Coulter has made a lucrative media career out of lying, hasn't he, she? I would like to suggest to those brainwashed Bush-Cheney administration brown-nosers like Ann the Crying Game Coulter that they access the following educational resources if they're actually interested in learning the awful truth about 9/11. And he cites Fahrenheit 9/11, Loose Change, New Pearl Harbor by David Ray Griffin, and a number of other sources. He goes on, whether you can handle the truth or not, the 9/11 truth movement is growing by leaps and bounds here at home in the United States with every passing day, and the foolish fascist tools at Fox News will not be able to stop us. All around the world, people are becoming increasingly aware of the massive archives of indisputable visual and scientific evidence proving Bush-Cheney-Rumsfeld regime complicity. 3,000 of our fellow human beings were murdered on 9/11 on the orders of homegrown, state-sponsored terrorist traitors illegitimately occupying the White House and the Pentagon. 9/11 was an inside job. Wake up, people. Well, there's a little more here, but you get the drift. And I love the way Jake renames Ann Coulter with every reference, and all of them are quite zingers. So, Jake, I hope you win your battle with the newspaper to get that published. And thanks for sending it along my way. One other item, Eric in San Francisco directed me to the website whatreallyhappened.com. And we don't have time to talk about it today, but Eric, I thank you for that, and we will discuss it tomorrow. It brings you contemporaneous accounts of the attacks between Israel and Hezbollah, and strongly suggests that the original reporting will show that Hezbollah captured two Israeli soldiers who had crossed the border into southern Lebanon. This becomes very important. We'll discuss it more. I'm Peter B. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back at you tomorrow, same time, same station. Trigger, let's ride off.
We meet again. Happy trail.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom! actor Mel Gibson has resumed an ongoing program for drinkers. That's from his publicist today, after his embarrassing arrest for driving drunk this weekend.
Very few details are being released about the type of treatment Mel Gibson is receiving. A brief statement from his publicist says the actor-director is participating in an ongoing program to deal with this. Gibson said this past weekend that he's been dealing with alcoholism his entire adult life.
That's CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman. The arresting sheriff's deputy, by the way, says he does not want to get into anything Gibson said to him while he was under the influence. Says he hopes he'll think twice before getting behind the wheel of a car after drinking from now on. Those are people packing it up in Bint Jabail. And they're getting out before the next round of fighting between Israeli troops and Hezbollah.
I'm Dan Raviv in Tel Aviv. Israel says when the 48-hour suspension of airstrikes requested by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice expires, that'll be early Wednesday morning, the bombing will resume, targeting Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. And senior ministers in the security cabinet approved a wider ground offensive. Tanks and troops have been seen heading for the Lebanese border.
CBS's Vicky Barker is in Beirut.
The Israelis have given residents 24 hours to leave some of the worst hit areas, and a stream of civilians has been flowing from some of those villages heading towards Tyre. But that may be from frying pan to fire. The southern port city has been hit several times during this conflict.
The oops pill, the morning after pill, may soon be available over the counter to any woman 18 or older, just for the asking.
If the FDA adheres to its mandate and makes science-based decisions as opposed to politically motivated decisions, then Plan B will be over the counter and there will be no age restriction.
That's Vanessa Cullins at Planned Parenthood. Ann Scheidler at the Pro-Life Action League does not like the idea.
We believe that massive doses of artificial hormones are not a good idea for anybody of any age.
The morning after pill prevents pregnancy, unlike RU486, which aborts one. It's hot. It's dang hot.
Now I mop the kitchen floor and the bathroom.